Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Saw a little bit of a rain here in the metro area. Already on the radar screen, there's some shower and thunder shower activity occurring over northwestern, north central North Dakota. We could see some more showers scattered throughout our region here this morning. Showers and thunderstorms, then skies will be clearing off. Expect some more afternoon showers. A much cooler day from what we have been seeing. 71 for our high temp today. Tomorrow, 69 for the high temp, and another chance of rain tomorrow. Morehead police are now using flock safety cameras to enhance public safety, capturing clear objective vehicle data while protecting your privacy. The smart cameras detect vehicle details, not people. It's already making a difference. Officers recently recovered a stolen rental car within minutes thanks to the flock system. A service was held yesterday for a Fargo police officer who was shot and killed 2 years ago. The ceremony took place at police headquarters for Jake Waleen, who was among three officers who were shot on the day. Two others survived. Police Chief Dave Zabolski, the event included a flag lowering by the Fargo Police Honor Guard in a tribute video. A Morehead man died at the hospital after being rescued from Pelican Lake between Cormorant and Dunvilla on Saturday. Otterdale County Sheriff's Office says a 61-year-old had a medical emergency while pulling up an anchor on a boat and went in the water. The unidentified man was rescued and given CPR but died at the Detroit Lakes Hospital. Ophthalmologist Dr. Tom Strinden, the husband of North Dakota Lieutenant Governor Michelle Strinden, has died. He was 63. He died at the couple's lake home on Sunday after a 17-month battle with brain cancer. Strinden performed more than 15,000 major eye surgeries during his career and did a yearly medical mission trip to Honduras. Celebration of his life will be held at Hope Lutheran Church South Campus on Friday at 11 a.m. Visitation begins at 9:30. A man died after a barn fire near Ryder in Ward County. It started as a grass fire that spread to a nearby barn. The landowner and family members tried to put it out. Investigators say the man died after the barn collapsed on him. An active shooter drill will be taking place tonight in Hunter, North Dakota. Cass County Sheriff's Office says the exercise will happen between 6 and 10 at Northern Cass School. The public will likely hear loud noises and see a large police presence. Saying he isn't sure if the U.S. can do anything on the federal level, North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer was asked what kind of action the U.S. can take to prevent more wildfire smoke from drifting into the state. Cramer says Canada did not will this on the U.S. and adds that prevailing winds from the northwest unfortunately pushed the smoke into our region. The North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation will receive millions to deal with crowded prisons. The legislature approved $37 million that will be used to build temporary shelters, contract space from other jails, and build a new reentry facility in the state's northwest region. That facility is expected to open sometime next summer. Jury selection in DFL State Senator Nicole Mitchell's Becker County burglary trial is underway. Mitchell told police in 2024 she went to her stepmother's Detroit Lakes home to get her father's late items, including his ashes. Court documents say Mitchell was dressed in all black and had a black sock over a flashlight. Goes on to say her stepmother tripped over her while she was lying near the foot of her bed. Tariffs are set to go into effect next month, and they could have a significant impact on North Dakota farmers. Last week, President Trump announced a 35% tariff on Canadian goods. North Dakota is the number one trading partner of Canada, accounting for 25% of exports in agriculture, energy, and machinery. Farmers and businesses are preparing for the potential repercussions of the tariffs that take effect August 1st. And the Red River Valley Fair is in the books, and the numbers are in. 143,740 people attended this year's 10-day run. A standout moment was Sunday night's Lauren Daigle concert that packed in over 12,000 fans. Lions All-Star basketball games tonight. Class AA girls versus Class AB girls. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. Class AA boys versus Class AB boys also tip off 20 minutes following the conclusion of the girls' game. You can join our very own Big Game James McCarty and Jace Denman for all the play-by-play action right here on WDAY Radio. Minnesota Lynx were in action last night. I believe they lost the previous game to the Chicago Sky, Jace, correct?
Don't remind me.
But they got a win this time.
Yes, they did.
There you go.
Chicago's the least team I would prefer them to lose to, but they did lose to them over the weekend. They got their revenge last night, 91-78. in Chicago. They trailed at by two at the half, outscored the Sky by 15 points in the second half. Nafisha Cogula led the team with 29 points, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Lynx returned to the Target Center to begin a 5-game homestand Wednesday afternoon when they battle the Phoenix Mercury. That game last night wrapped up a 4-game road trip. I'm out of breath.
Do you want me to still do some more?
I'm fine. Okay. Also, if you want to come out to the Lions All-Star Basketball game.
Yeah, where's that at?
It's at Fargo South tonight.
Oh, Fargo South.
Yeah, so James and I will have all the coverage right here on WDAY Radio. But yeah, if you want to get out and watch some excellent basketball in the middle of summer, I suggest you do that. We've did the Optimist Volleyball Classic. We've done the Shriners football games. This is the Lions basketball All-Star game. This is the last of the All-Star games over the summer. So this is the last high school.
Fall sports season starts.
fall sports season starts next month. So obviously these are the last chance for these former senior basketball players to get recognized for the talent on the court before they go off. And we were with the boys for their luncheon on Friday. A lot of young men going on to play either local, smaller college basketball, a couple playing Division II. I think we had a couple maybe that were signed up to go play Division II basketball, like at UND or something like that. So a lot of talent on the court tonight, so come out and check them out because I know they'd greatly appreciate the support. Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend, that got going last night in Atlanta. It's at Truist Park. That's the home of the Braves. Your home run contest last night, trying to figure out how they did it. I think in the first round it was the top four that as far as number of homers advanced to the second round. Junior Caminero had 21 home runs, O'Neill Cruz 21, Byron Buxton had 20, and Cal Raleigh had 17. Cal Raleigh then in the second round took on O'Neill Cruz head-to-head. He won 19 home runs to 13. Then the other matchup, Junior Caminero had 8, while Byron Buxton had just 7. So Raleigh went on to take Caminero head-to-head, and he ended up with 18 home runs. Caminero had just 15. So Cal Raleigh is your home run derby champion this year. He is the first ever catcher to win the home run derby and second Mariner to do so. The other Mariner, maybe you heard of him, Ken Griffey Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he was there. All-Star game tonight, 7 p.m. on Fox. Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan will be playing tonight for the American League. Locally, baseball-wise, Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks are welcoming the Kansas City Monarchs to Newman Outdoor Field for a series that begins tonight. First pitch scheduled for 6 p.m. Fargo-Moorhead enters with a record of 29-30, while Kansas City is at 37-21. So tough matchup this weekend for the Redhawks, but got home field advantage, so we'll see if they can get a couple wins. Minnesota Timberwolves Summer League team is back in action today. We'll see if the rookie centers, along with, well, quite honestly, we'll see if Rob Dillingham, Jalen Clark, and Terrence Shannon Jr. play again today. Terrence Shannon Jr., in the two games that they've played so far, Bonnie, I believe he's averaging about 22 points per game. So there was some comment after the last game where it's kind of like, what else does he have to prove in summer league? He can go out there and he can get buckets. He can. He was knocking down perimeter shots. Finally got to the rim a couple times. Had a highlight level dunk where they're actually interviewing somebody on the sideline.
I saw that.
And the reaction for the guy they were interviewing when TJ went up and threw it down with the left hand, he was kind of left speechless there. So we'll see who actually gets a chance to be out there on the court tonight. If it was up to me, and granted this was guaranteed there was no injuries, I would throw the starters out there and just run it up on somebody, but that's just me because I want to win.
Coach.
I want to be best. All right. But they are on today at 3:30 p.m. Game coverage available on NBA TV. And there will be no primetime sports tonight because the Lions basketball game, as we said, start at 6. So we will not have PTS tonight. We'll go right into a high school All-Star basketball game tonight.
All right. There you go. And forecast. It is sticky out still this morning. Dew point is at 65, so sticky, but that'll be dropping. Temperature, quite a bit cooler than what we've been seeing. 71 for our high temp. There's some scattered showers and thunderstorms moving through. We saw some showers earlier. It doesn't look like anything's going to hit us again here in the metro anytime soon from what I'm seeing on the radar screen. But we could see some more showers pop up this afternoon. Again, 71 for the high. North, northeast winds, 15 to 25. 53 our overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy afternoon showers. Only 69 for a high temp. That'll be refreshing.
It will be. I don't know how many times we get days like that in the summertime, but
not too often after how many upper 80s and 90s.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Even tonight when I pulled out of the driveway, you could see kind of off in the distance kind of a line of clouds and stuff. So like you said, we'll see if we get some rain or whatnot moving through the area early this morning.
There
probably
was just
not
a couple spits when I was coming in. It's like I didn't even have to turn my windshield wipers on.
My yard needs a little watering, so.
I don't know if you're going to have much luck with that. We'll see. Dang it. We'll see if Dean shows up today. Maybe he'll have more.
There you go.
We're in the rain. And then tomorrow, again, 69, chance of showers. Thursday, mostly sunny. 76 for our high temp. Mid-70s Friday and Saturday. And back into the 80s beginning on Sunday. And I do, in the 10-day forecast, see a 90 or two in there. Mm. Partly cloudy, 67 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Northeast winds at 8. Again, the dew point at 65. So it is sticky out there this morning. 5:11 right now, your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Tuesday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY radio. Something to be said for walking into a cool climate-controlled studio. Yeah. The brain's firing. It's hard when it gets so hot.
Yeah, I mean, when you come in and it's
78 yesterday.
You know, it was started at 78. By the time we were done, it was over like almost 80 in here, and you're just like, it's not quite the same. So broke out the fans and stuff.
We powered through the morning, but I know as our news guys got here, both of them were grumbling. Yeah. And then I got a text from James about 1:30 saying the air was fixed. I'm like, good. And at our house, we had a guy from Laney's over too. He worked and he got ours fixed, but it was still because it was so hot in our house. It was like 79 when I went to bed last night because he had to turn it off a couple times as he monkeyed with the electrical box. When I woke up this morning, it was 75. When I left the house, it was 74. Mm. So it's dropping. It just, when it gets so warm, it takes a while. But our air at home and work is working again.
That's good.
It's refreshing. I know. It's hard to breathe when it gets so hot. And then we just get goofy. I can't even think when it gets past 76. I get the giggles. And
I just want to sit down and be like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And outdoors, like I said, it's still sticky here this morning, but much cooler temps for those of you who are looking for a break. And those of you that like it hot, you've had plenty of hot, and it's coming back, so don't worry. Yeah. All right. Partly cloudy, 67 right now, but again, dew point at 65, so that means it's sticky out there. Question of the morn. Oh, this is a simple one. What is your absolute favorite dessert? 701-293-9000. You can pick them all. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:24 on a Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stedman, and you. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. All is good in my world. I now have air conditioning at home and work.
That's all that matters.
And it worked in my car. Oh, so I had that, my little ride home yesterday.
I was going to say, you just drove around all the time?
No, for a while on my way home. All right, what's your absolute favorite dessert? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger said it's in eighth grade. His class sang that song for graduation. That's cute. It's a good tune.
Nice.
Club Nouveau did a new newer version of it, which is good too. But I don't know. I like to go old school sometimes.
Yeah.
Roger also says his favorite dessert, New York cheesecake with a piping hot coffee. Is there a difference between cheesecake and New York cheesecake? I have no idea. But I like cheesecake a lot. Is it bigger, thicker, fluffier?
I don't know. I mean, because
I got to Google that.
The only thing I'm thinking is that, like, they've got a couple different cheesecake blizzards at Dairy Queen these days.
Yeah.
They have a New York cheesecake one, and it's got cheesecake in it, but then they've got a different one where it's like a chocolate-covered cherry cheesecake one, and I really don't know what the difference would be in cheesecake and New York cheesecake.
It's got to
be probably the presentation or what's on top of it because, you know, you get those cheesecakes with the cherries on top, kind of like the cherry pie filling on top.
New York cheesecake is usually denser. It's known for its dense, rich, creamy texture, often achieved with the addition of heavy cream or sour cream. Regular cheesecakes are more lighter and fluffier is the answer to that.
I don't know. I would almost say that all of them taste fairly dense because
No.
Because cheesecake, to me, the only other cake I'm really comparing it to is cake. So, you know, cheesecake always feels denser.
No, sometimes you get like a real thick, dense, delicious one. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like all of them, though. I would, well, cheesecake, or I'd go with blueberry pie for my favorite desserts.
Narrowed that down awfully quick.
Well, we grew up picking berries for our side hustle.
Yeah,
so
but
we
you're not even going to give any consideration to like pecan pie or to chocolate cake or ice cream or hot fudge sundaes or blizzards or, you know, malts, nothing.
I'm just with Roger.
Blueberry
pie
and
New
cheesecake.
Year cheesecake and blueberry pie. Homemade blueberry pie.
You could
pie.
Put homemade blueberry pie on top of a New York cheesecake.
You could. They do,
now you're getting somewhere.
Up on the North Shore, up by Duluth, there are two harbors. There's Betty's Pies. They do pie milkshakes. And so they have like a little piece of pie that they'll put on your cup, but they also blend pie in the crust in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are delicious. Hello. What's your absolute favorite dessert? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Morning, Bonnie. Al.
Hi, Al.
Oh, I'm thinking whatever you make me would be my favorite. It's got to be angel food cake, number one.
Ooh.
I think cheesecake, number two. Pineapple upside down cake. Oh, yeah, that one, too.
Mm.
All of them are favorite. All of them are good.
What do you do with – do you just eat the angel food cake plain, or do you, like, put strawberries, whipped cream, and stuff like that?
Well, I like them just plain. Just plain. There.
He's a simple man.
A little ball and eat them.
Doesn't take much to make him happy. Oh, you do – I remember as a kid doing that. You're still doing that as a big kid?
Oh, I am.
I love it. Pineapple upside down. Yeah, that was one that – I mean, I think I've had it before, but it wasn't, like, something that – I had often in my family growing up, but that's not bad, pineapple upside down cake.
No, and rhubarb coffee cake. Oh, that's good, too.
Ooh, anything. I love rhubarb, anything with rhubarb. Is your wife baking for you?
Yeah, we got a bunch growing here, so if you need some, come on over.
Oh, well, then I'd have to bake. I haven't been using my oven lately because it's been so hot in my house. But now that the air is working again and the temperature's dropped 30 degrees.
As long as you're over, then you can start working on your tomato plant. You know, just saying.
I know. I need to deliver a couple of jars back to you from the salsa that you've given me, too. But not coming over empty-handed. My mom always taught us never to return an empty jar or plate. You always put something in it or on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
All right, Al, take care. You too. Good hearing from you. He texted me a picture. Here's your salsa. It's growing right now. Your pre-salsa. His big tomato plant. He showed me. He makes very good salsa, and I've been treated to that a number of times too. Yeah, I've got two of his empty jars. One of them I've had for a long time, but one of them he just gave me a week ago. So it's not like I'm sitting on all his jars. I know from growing up in a canning family, somebody gives you a jar of something, you return the jars or you're not getting anything anymore. What's your absolute favorite dessert? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Polly in Idaho on the line. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning to you, too.
I was
working with a guy. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was working with a guy that he was from New York, and he kept on swearing by New York cheesecake, New York cheesecake, New York cheesecake, this, that, and everything. So it was the best. So he did. We challenged him on that. We said, okay, how are you going to get the best here? So he had it flown. He had a New York cheesecake flown from New York, the stamp of authenticity. And he had it flown out here. And the co-workers got together, and we sat down, and we each had a piece of cheesecake, New York cheesecake. And it was the best cheesecake I think I've ever had. It was really good.
I love cheesecake. Well, they always advertise. There used to be infomercials. Remember Junior's Cheesecake with the red and white box? The guy always had infomercials. You can still buy it. I can't even remember where it's made. But that's a big thing around, you know, like you can get the steaks or whatever, Omaha Steaks, they do Junior's Cheesecake, and sometimes they pair those two up too. But, yeah, cheesecake is delicious.
Yeah, but that New York cheesecake was a little bit different than anything I'd had before. But as far as pineapple upside down cake are concerned, I dropped a piece of pie off the end of my plate and it landed upside down, so it was right side up by the time I got back to it.
There you go. Well, what's your favorite one though?
Well, I've got to go along with the guy that was just talking about the angel food cake.
Yeah.
But with the strawberries and whipped cream.
Yeah. Angel food cake is good, and it's lighter and it's healthier for you than all other cake and pie, too. It's a lighter, lower calorie, lower sugar option for a lot of people, too.
And your song of the day that you picked was awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
I remember that song.
Yeah.
So that was 1971 or 72.
Sounds about right. I'm not going to Google it, but that sounds about right. Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
That was one of my favorites.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, have a good day, Polly. Good hearing from you. It is 5:32. What's your absolute favorite dessert? Yeah, this Junior's that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what they say. I'm not saying.
Allegedly.
This is their tagline. The world's most famous or world's most fabulous cheesecake, New York's most iconic cheesecake, shipped nationwide. It's probably much better if you find a restaurant where you're eating it. But
yeah,
Junior's, and it
so.
Comes like in a red and white box, and it's been a Brooklyn original since 1950. I can picture that guy. So obviously, it's been from infomercials or somewhere that I've seen the guy. And like I said, I know in some more recent years they've partnered up even with Omaha Steaks over the holidays.
Yeah.
You get see those ads that pop up on your Facebook feed or on TV or something where you can get both. I've never ordered. I mean, we've got so many good local meat products around here in meat markets. I've never bought the Omaha Steaks. I have been tempted a few times because they do like steaks, and I think they have chicken and salmon and stuff too.
Yeah.
Buy local the way I look at it.
Yeah, it always seems kind of expensive. And
of course it is. You're paying for convenience. It's getting shipped to your doorstep.
But, I mean, I just know that if you go here, locally, and you can get, USDA Prime or Choice Cut, and it's awfully, awfully good. I don't need to go watch an infomercial and be talked into buying steaks. I mean, that's silly.
Sometimes those that's the point of them.
Mm-hmm.
They can get you to buy things.
That's anytime you start showing me pictures of food and stuff, it's kind of hard not to, get sucked in.
I'm with you. It's more like food's my wheelhouse, too. It's like food or clothing or products. No, I'll go for the food first.
Yeah, no
probably
doubt.
Every time.
Yep.
Rick says his favorite dessert is strawberry-covered cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cheesecake lovers out there.
Yeah.
I have not had one of these forever. I think Perkins used to have them probably. What's the orange rest? Village Inn. French Silk Pie, Dave in Grand Rapids says.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
That's good.
That's chocolate one, isn't it?
Yeah. People don't really make that much, I don't think.
I
don't think it's tough to make. But.
No, I think up here it normally seems like the most popular pie is apple pie. And then, of course, during the holidays, it's pumpkin.
Pumpkin pie.
And pumpkin and apple pie are still served used around Thanksgiving and stuff like that. I didn't realize how much I liked it until I finally tried it, and I was towards the end, if not end of my 20s, early 30s, when I finally tried pecan pie. And I'm like, this is what pecan pie is? Because, I mean, when you look at it and you don't really realize what's in it, it kind of looked a little weird, and I'm like, well, what is that gooey stuff? And then when you eat it, you're like, oh.
Taro syrup.
Yeah.
An elderly gentleman, he passed on a number of years back. He would always drop them off at the station, and so I'd get to taste those. I never grew up eating pecan pie, though. The gentleman that made them had his a number of times. And I think through work here, when we get to order a pie once a year, I did the pecan once. It's just
we order pie once a year here? What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, we get pie.
What? From who?
Where have you been? Well, you were not alive the last time.
That's
around the holidays. It's like Thanksgiving time. We get a pie, or it's either Thanksgiving or Christmas. I think it's Thanksgiving.
Oh,
you get to put an order in for a pie.
I think so.
He slept through last year's pie.
I forgot. I didn't get
Van Winkle.
I didn't get a pie last year.
James and I might have ate your pie.
I hope we might
have ordered an extra.
I hope I get two pies this year then.
You should. You got forgotten. No, but pecan pie is good, but it's just so rich, and it's yeah. like, it kind of like almost hurts your teeth. It's so sweet.
No, it's one of those ones that to me, it just it tastes so good that you have a piece, and then you're just like, man, that was really good. I want another piece, and you have that second piece, and then you're just halfway through that, you're like, this is too much.
It's too rich. That's probably like one of the richest desserts you can have is pecan pie.
When did we go there? That was, I think we went there before the girls had spring break from grade school, but we went down to Georgia so we could have an opportunity for the girls to meet their other grandparents. And it's really, I'm really glad that we did because a couple years later, my wife's mother passed away. And then a year after that, her father passed away. And she had made pecan pie. And I can't remember. I think there might have been a year before we either got married or maybe after we got married, but before we had kids, we were out in Georgia for like Christmas. And basically her mom made not a huge pie, not like the giant size pies you buy at Costco during holidays, you know, that are like.
Well, those are large.
They're like a pizza.
Usually
right?
You have a standard pie
tin. Yeah, the standard pie tin. And she made a pecan pie and I ate about. You know, if you divide it into 8 pieces, I probably ate 7. If it was 6 pieces, I ate 5, you know.
Did you give other people a chance first before you went all
Definitely.
In?
Definitely. I would eat a piece at a time, and then, there's still pie left. There. Okay. Jace, there's still pie left. All right. So then I'd have some more.
Maybe
so.
The rest of them didn't love the pecan pie.
For them, they probably grew up on it. They're probably just like, it's just pecan pie, big deal. I'm just like, this is the best thing ever.
Peach pie is another southern thing, too, that a lot of people. And it's okay.
Sweet potato pie is a southern thing.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that before.
Neither have I.
I've had peach pie before, and it's fine. It wouldn't be something I'd want all the time.
My sister always liked cherry pie, and then, of course, both of my grandmothers would make us the pies with the pudding in them as the filling as kids growing up because we didn't really like apple pie or cherry pie. So
okay. Mm-hmm. The cherries, I like the cherry flavoring, but I don't like the blobs of cherries. So.
Yeah.
But the flavoring of cherry,
there's something about
like.
The texture. Yeah, if you could just get that cherry sauce, I would totally eat that.
What's your absolute favorite dessert? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Good morning, you two. This is Susie.
Hi, Susie. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank God for cooler weather.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. Yes. Well, yeah. It's been hot long enough, if you ask a lot of us.
Yeah.
And you're out at the lake, so good sleeping weather? Or is it muggy there? Probably muggy as well out there, I would imagine.
It's been really hot and muggy. Yeah.
You have an air conditioner in your camper, though, don't you?
Yes, I do, thank God.
Yeah, I know. It's just so refreshing, and it's like everything's firing. I'm fully alert here with the air working at work and air working at home finally. It's just like, it just makes you lazy, and the brain doesn't fire properly.
I get grouchy when it's so humid and I get so hot. It's just like, just everybody leave me alone. I'm just there.
Yeah. I think it's a little hard to breathe, too. And I don't really have any health issues that would make it hard to breathe. And I just can't imagine.
Very hard to breathe.
Yeah.
Very hard to breathe.
Yeah. So looking forward to about a week of cooler temps.
Oh, man.
Are you baking up any dessert there at the lake?
No, not right now. you know what? I am going to make some, I'm on my way to Walmart in DL, and I'm going to get some stuff to make homemade ice cream.
Oh, that's fun. Now, how do you have like some type of a vessel or machine to make it in, or what
do
you put it in?
I do, but it's at home. But no, I just whip it up with a mixer and pop it in a container and put it in the freezer.
I have never had homemade ice cream. It wasn't so.
I know you say that, and if it would... I got to make it sometime and then just quick rush it over there.
Mm-hmm. You would do that too. I think there was just so many in our family that it wasn't economical to make homemade ice cream maybe that, you know, we'd get ice cream like big 5-gallon containers from Schwann's or store or whatever growing up, but never had homemade.
Oh, yeah. My dad would go out and chip water out of the what do you call it, where the cows would drink their...
The trough? Ice off the trough?
Ice off the trough. He'd bring that in, and Mom would get some salt, and we'd put it around the Oh, the big old huge heavy metal container, and it would be sitting in a wooden bucket, and then we would take turns and crank it.
Oh, so do you have
by hand?
Okay, I saw somebody that was just on like on a Facebook reel the other day. It was a lady and her kid were making it, and they were using like a plastic gallon bag or whatever, and then they put it in
well,
a
small... Well, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, this is when I was a child, when that's the only way we made a homemade ice cream.
But it probably had a better texture by hand cranking it, too, versus mixing it up like in a gallon
and
Ziploc.
We would go to the neighbors and get a whole quart of real heavy cream for 50 cents.
Salt, heavy cream, and then what, vanilla?
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla
and
eggs.
Eggs
and milk.
Oh, there's eggs in there too.
Well, more like a custard then.
Ooh.
Yep.
So, wait, back up to taking ice off the trough. Like, did the cows lick off there or drink out of the water before the ice?
Yeah. I mean, if there was, you know, we needed a bunch of chunks of ice. Just to put around the outside of the container.
Oh, it didn't. Okay, so you weren't like licking it after the cows licked it.
Oh no, no. Oh God. Oh,
no. I'm just checking.
I've never done this before. No, thank you.
I was just checking. Okay, so the ice goes on the outside to cool it.
This big colander, heavy. Heavy metal colander goes inside this wooden bucket, and then around in between the container and the bucket would be big chunks of ice.
Okay.
And then salt.
I've seen like pictures of what you're talking about, but like I said, we never
and
had one.
It was an old cranker, and then you just would crank it, and that would be so much fun for us. Huh. And we'd do that, and then Mom would be making a homemade taffy. Ooh. And then we'd get to pull taffy with that too.
Yum. How close to, say, store-bought ice cream is homemade ice cream? Is it the texture softer? Is it taste better? Not as good? Or
it's just a whole different taste. It's just wonderful. I'm just going to have to make it for you guys and just run it over.
All right, I'll be around at work all week when you get back from the lake, Susie.
Hey, I would love to have, my homemade ice cream, pistachio dessert, and anything rhubarb.
Oh, yeah, both. I love pistachios and rhubarb. Well, Trucker Al's got rhubarb. He can probably hook you up too, Susie. We can make this happen.
I would love it.
Well, it's good hearing you, Susie. You have fun at the lake peace and quiet. Enjoy it.
I will get that ice cream to you sooner or later.
She will. There you go. I know she will. All right. Thanks, Susie.
Bye, hon.
You too. Yeah. What's your favorite dessert? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. I see we're not the only ones that like our food around here. Lots of responses coming in on our question of the morning. What's your absolute favorite dessert? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning to Kevin in Fergus Falls. He says carrot cake or cinnamon streusel coffee cake, carrot bars.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says it has to be the ones with the pecans and cream cheese frosting.
Oh, ooh, that sounds
delicious.
Good.
Delicious. Not white sugar frosting. I don't know what white sugar frosting is. I've only had cream cheese frosting.
White carrot sugar cake, frosting? Is it powdered sugar frosting?
Cream cheese. I don't know what the white sugar one is, but cream cheese frosting is. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think that's the norm. I've not had any other way.
Mm.
But
yeah,
carrot cake bars or pumpkin bars, basically to me, they're like the same and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin bars are a little more dense, but those are really good too. Only problem is with those, like I could eat them all myself, and do I need to eat a 9x13 pan of pumpkin bars because nobody else in my house isn't? So if I do make them ever, I bring them in after I maybe have a two or three of them, and then I bring them in because that could be dangerous eating a whole pan of those.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
definitely.
I know you would do it. But.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Who says I haven't done it already? You know what I mean?
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Janet says she loves chocolate mousse. That's not good. One too often. That's no. Like a normal go-to, I would say.
No, it's not.
She also said her mom made the best blueberry and peach pie in the summer. It was so good.
Oh, I bet. Mm. Cut a nice slice of pie with a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Delicious. Afternoon coffee. I mean, my folks still do that. I don't think your younger generation, and I'm talking our generation and even younger, so much does the afternoon coffee. Like every day. It was always afternoon. Did your mom and dad do that or your grandma do that? Afternoon coffee,
at
2 o'clock or something?
My grandmother would, I believe, because dad, he worked over at the school after his career working at the grain elevator, and he would go over there. I don't know if he'd go over there over that lunch or early afternoon. He would go have coffee with grandma.
Aww.
And so, obviously, at one point in time then, his mom had already passed away, and we just had his dad and my mom's mom left. Both of them lived to be like 90. So over the years, especially with us living in my hometown and having both sets of grandparents there, you know, obviously we were close with all of our grandparents. We were lucky enough as kids to have all four of them there. And then as time went by and we moved away, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my dad developed a special relationship with my grandmother. And even my Uncle Mel, they're both her son-in-laws. I mean, she was close to both of them. And, you know, my dad, since he was the only son-in-law, obviously, in town, my other, you know, aunts and uncles all lived out of town. He would normally go over there at some point in time. He'd have a break, and you could literally walk from the grade school just across, you know. It's not even a block. He could walk over to grandma's and have coffee
with
her.
And it was a two-way street. I mean, she was treating him, and it made her heart feel full that she was having coffee and dessert, and he was going there to, you know, keep her company so she didn't get lonely and maybe do a little checking on her to make sure she was doing
absolutely.
Okay. So it was a two-way street that afternoon coffee.
Yeah, and they were very close, and, you know, there's a story that the only person she told the story to was my dad. And so that showed what type of relationship the two of them had. And sometimes, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes, you know, family is not just blood related, you know. I mean, obviously you have your in-laws, et cetera. You have the family that you choose to make, you know, for some of us that maybe we don't have all of our, you know, parents or grandparents or whatever. And sometimes a person comes into your life and they just kind of fill either a parental role or something like a sibling, you know, you never know. So, I mean, it was a very special bond that the two of them had. And so that was the only real time I remember them doing that, was dad saying that he'd go over to grandma's. And it might have been, it could have been late morning or something too. It could have been before lunchtime.
You could coffee and
but
dessert
they were,
before dinner or lunch.
I'm not sure if they had dessert, but I mean, grandma always, as a typical grandmother back in the day, she either had, you know, cookies that she made more than she needed and froze them, or there was a pie,
that's
or she made cinnamon rolls or something. So
that's the way grandmas show love. They want to make you feel happy, way that your tummy is to show you love.
But my parents, though, no. I would say, in a sense, my wife does, but then again, that woman could drink coffee pretty much all day.
She's not having afternoon coffee. Yeah, she's just continuously having coffee.
I was going to say, she's lately it's been coffee, and then I've had a protein coffee, and then I'll have an iced coffee, and I'm just like, you're going to be up all night.
Versus just having an afternoon coffee break. And granted, my folks are in their 90s, and they still do that. That's their thing, and they always did it. And their, you know, aunts and uncles, they would come over, and it was always like, say, about 2 o'clock, you'd have afternoon coffee with dessert.
Well, we might get to a point in time when I'm, you know, a grandparent or something like that. It's like, oh, there's grandpa. He's got to have his afternoon soda, you know? And it'd be like, I've been doing this since I was a kid, you know? And it's kind of one of those things. I mean, we didn't have, especially for your parents' age, I mean, mom 90, dad 95, right?
Mom 91 and 96. Dad's 96
now?
And mom will be 92 this fall. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're of a certain age where, you know, I would assume when they were kids, they didn't have soda, you know, and they probably didn't really have
dessert very often, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, for them to have a coffee break every afternoon, I mean, that's just something that they enjoyed when they were younger, got into it. And now it's, you know, it's a bonding experience for your parents every day to have sit down and have coffee together.
Absolutely. What's your absolute favorite dessert? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Crash, he says, Coors Light or banana cream pie.
I don't think those two would go together at all.
No, probably not. Jay says his wife makes the best cream cheese chocolate chip filled cannoli truly delicious.
Yeah.
My daughter requested that for her wedding shower, and she's getting store-bought from Target. Don't tell her.
Aww.
But then on the back of the box, you could jazz them up. So I dipped them in melted chocolate and then crushed pistachios, so they're semi-homemade, and Bailey doesn't need to know that.
So everybody knows it now.
Well, whatever. She's not listening to us. She's sleeping still. Doug says his wife makes an angel food cake with crushed pineapple mixed with a Cool Whip topping. That sounds good. A lot of angel food cake lovers out there.
That was one thing that more or less angel food cake was something Grandma Harms used to make.
Yeah. It's angel food cake is good.
But and, you can put like a kind of like a lemon icing kind of drizzle over it, or just some type of drizzle like that. So it doesn't, it's not frosted, but I would take offense with Al. I'm not gonna wad up my cake into a ball and eat it that way.
I did that as a kid, because it was fun to play with.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, you used to do that with a piece of bread or something like that. Yeah. But don't mess around with your dessert. Come on, man.
Bonnie says homemade chocolate cake with homemade chocolate pudding and whipped cream, not Cool Whip, homemaid whipped cream.
Yeah, that'd be different.
Ooh, Anita says this is my dad's favorite, lemon meringue pie. My mom always makes it for him.
Yeah.
That or pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, just a simple guy, vanilla bean ice cream, but he sprinkles chocolate malt on it.
That'd be good.
I never think to do that, but I love vanilla bean ice cream. I don't really care for malt.
See, when we were...
I always would pick a shake over a malt.
Yeah, well, when we were kids, I mean, that was a big thing, is to make... Like, and granted, I got sick on it one time because it was a little bit too good, but Grandma Denman would make chocolate malts. Another one, Grandma, another one. Okay, made another one. Another one. And then by probably that third one, then I wasn't feeling so good. And it's like... That really slowed me down from wanting chocolate malts for a very, very long time. But... No, we had we'd always have that jar of malted milk up in the cupboard, and it was.
I don't even
know how they make that, honestly. But I mean, putting that on ice cream, and then of course, if you sprinkle on ice cream, you could just eat it that way. But of course, as kids, since soft serve was a big deal back in the day, you'd take that malted milk and sprinkle it on there, and then you'd kind of stir it up, stir your ice cream up a little bit, so it got kind of that soft serve consistency. So it was almost like you were eating a malt then.
Mm. Yeah, I just prefer shake to a malt.
Yeah.
But I made many malts when I worked at the A&W. Mm-hmm. Barb says peanut butter pie is her favorite dessert. Jim says better than sex cake.
Yep, that's good.
Is there two versions? Is there one that's chocolate and one that's not chocolate, or is it always chocolate? And like caramel or something.
I think it was the one that we made was, I can't remember if, I think we probably used chocolate cake. You poke the holes in it. You put sweetened condensed milk over the cake so it goes into those holes. Then you use a caramel sauce. Then you top it with whipped cream. And then you crunch up Heath bars and sprinkle that over the top.
Oh, did it? Okay. I see one that says juicy pineapple center using yellow cake and vanilla pudding and whipped cream and coconut flakes. I think I've had that kind before.
But I haven't had that kind because, you know, pineapple is not normally my thing. But
it's okay.
I'm sure you could use a pudding too as well.
Mm-hmm. 5:59, we're going to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Top of the hour, we'll have your WDAY radio news, and we'll see if Dino's there after that with your weather. 6:01, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:03, we're going to find out how this goes. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki maybe found his voice.
My voice is back. It's still a little scratchy, but I Bentley is sick, so I'm wondering if he gave it to me.
Or your Australian friends partying like rock stars.
Oh, I went to bed. They were still up.
Shocker.
Yeah.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah, well, oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you what. We've had a little bit of shower activity. There were some strong storms overnight in the far northern valley up around Grand Forks County and a little bit in the Lakes Country. Now we're looking at just a little bit of scattered light activity out there this morning with temperatures in the upper 50s to near 60 in the northern valley. And we're looking at, looks like the mid-60s here in the FM area and low 70s in Lakes Country. Now, we're going to have a cold front that's going to be pushing through the area today. As it does, that'll trigger off a few more rounds of showers and storms. We're not looking at heavy rainfall in the FM area and points northward. But as you get into Lakes Country, let's say from, Alex up to Brainerd and points south of that, those areas could get severe weather along with heavy rain. But for us, just an isolated shower or two this afternoon. Breezy, 72, with a north wind at about 15 to 25. A few more widely isolated showers overnight tonight with lows in the mid-50s. And Wednesday, we'll see, again, a few scattered showers, mainly along and south of the 94 corridor. Cooler on Wednesday, though. Highs only in the upper 60s. But the sun returns as we head into Thursday. I'd say Thursday, probably the pick day of the week, with highs in the mid-70s and plenty of sunshine. Rain comes back in the forecast towards the end of the week, but does it last into the weekend? I'll have more on that coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
Now, it's still pretty humid out there, but
with, it is.
Is that going to drop today at all with the cooler temps or no?
Slightly, yeah. A little bit.
But not much.
We'll still notice a little bit of stickiness to the air, though.
That kind of surprised me with the cooler temps and that it was still sticky out.
Yeah, there's still a lot of moisture nearby. That's why. And so it's not till you're well behind that cool front where the drier weather comes in. And as that cool front does swing by today, our winds turn to the
northwest.
And
Canada's bringing us some more smoke. Okay, great. Thanks, Canada.
I know.
So in terms of today and tomorrow, within what we picked up, there was only a few spits when I came in. I don't know how much we got.
Two hundredths of an inch. That's it. Now,
are we going to get anything here, like, significant at all or no?
No, maybe a tenth.
Okay.
So, now, again, areas in Lakes Country, Alex Brainerd southward line, those areas could get 1 to 2 inches. There was a in northwest Minnesota, Alvarado up through Kennedy, they picked up 1 to 2 inches last night. It was targeting the far northern valley last night along with northwest Minnesota. And today, it's going to be pushing a little further to the east in the Lakes Country with the more organized areas of storms.
I just saw a graphic up on WDAY-TV about heat in North Dakota, and it was so rogue. I think they had 2.9 that came off the Endon site for a rainfall total, and it's like, where the heck is that? It's over in Wells County. That would have been
Heaton?
Something weird. Yeah.
Yeah, Heaton. And then right on each side of Heaton, let's pull this up here. Carrington, only 13 hundredths of an inch.
Wow.
And just west of there, Hertzfield, picking up 3/4 of an inch. So, yeah, there was one little target zone out there just to the west of Carrington that got hit pretty good.
Okay. I mean, that's odd to see almost 3 inches and not a whole lot surrounding it.
Exactly. So. That's what thunderstorms will do, though. You get one lone thunderstorm that pops up, and if the upper-level winds aren't steering that along too quickly, it kind of just stays over the same area before it rains itself out, and that's what happened out to our west.
But it's looking like, you mentioned Thursday, the pick day of the week, and that's the start of the downtown street fair here in Fargo, and for the run of that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, looks like pretty nice weather you'll be serving up.
Yeah, Friday not so much, but
Friday,
it does improve towards the weekend.
Okay. Yeah. But Thursday's going to start it out nicely, though.
Thursday looks beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Question of the morning, what's your absolute favorite dessert?
Oh, strawberry shortcake with whipped cream out of the can. It's got to be out of the can.
You weirdo.
Yeah.
What's so great out of the can?
It tastes so much better than out of the tub. Don't you think?
I don't know. My mom either made homemade or it was Cool Whip, and I guess I like Cool Whip.
Well, I grew up on Cool Whip too, but I prefer it out of the can now. Jace does not taste better out of the can.
It tastes different, I will say that. Granted, the whipped cream we get out in the can is usually like natural greens. It's like milk and sugar or something like that, where Cool Whip, I'm not sure what exactly in the Cool Whip.
Look at the ingredients. I'm not going to name any name brands, but look in some of the ingredients in the tub whipped cream opposed to what's in the canned whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the ingredients.
All right, I did Cool Whip ingredients. Yeah, we got the high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated vegetable oil, coconut and palm kernel oils. And then you go to, I'll just do Ready Whip because everybody knows what that is. Oh, yeah, you're right. It still has corn syrup, but then carrageenan. I think that's for coloring. Isn't that made out of bugs, carrageenan?
Yeah, but that's good protein.
Yeah.
And then nitrous oxide. Well, I suppose they need that to get it to come out of the can.
You need the nitrous, yeah.
You're right. It does look like it's better for you, the stuff out of the can.
You never inhaled the end of a whipped cream can when you were in college?
No.
Liar.
I didn't. My kids bought it a few times, but it seems like they stop working before all the whipped cream's out of them.
You got to shake it. And I told Bentley the same thing, that, Dad, I can hear some stuff in here, but it's not coming out. I said, you got to shake it real. You got to shake it a lot to keep everything coming out.
Mm.
Yeah. See, there's tricks to this.
The things you, stick with Dean. You'll learn lots of things, many of them inappropriate. But the carrageenan is it's a natural polysaccharide derived from red seaweed, commonly used as a food additive, known for gelling, thickening, and stabilizing properties.
I think one of the reasons I switched, not only because of the flavor, but anything with high fructose corn syrup, which the tub ones do, that stuff is so bad.
Yeah,
so bad for you.
Lots
so
of stuff
I
on
just
that.
I stay away from anything with that in it now.
I guess I don't really use Cool Whip personally myself. I do buy it. Sometimes I'll use it in a recipe or whatever, but I guess.
And ever since I gave up the high fructose corn syrup, I was able to get into these Speedo competitions where before I couldn't. It adds so much weight on. It's terrible.
Yeah, you're looking very svelte.
See, it's all because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Canned whipped cream, that's the key, bud.
Right, I'm good for your ego, too, are I not?
Yeah, pretty much.
Some days, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. Sometimes it is. Chop them off at the knees. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
It is 6:11. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:15, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The MLB All-Star festivities began last night with the Home Run Derby, where you saw Byron Buxton actually get out of the first round. He hit 20 home runs. That was technically third, but it was only one behind Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz's 21 apiece in the first round. Kyle Raleigh also defeated Brent Rooker with 17 home runs, legitimately hit the ball a full inch further. They did. It was 470.6 feet to 470.5 feet. That's how Cal Raleigh ends up surviving into the second round, as Rooker, James Wood, Matt Olson, and Jess Chisholm Jr. were all eliminated in the first round. The semifinals saw Cal Raleigh outslug O'Neill Cruz 19-13 and Junior Caminero. Buxton hit first, so he only hit 7 home runs. He was a little bit quieter in that second round, a little bit tougher on him. And Caminero hit 8 in the first 60 seconds. So it was Raleigh and Caminero in the championship, where Cal Raleigh would end up edging out Caminero 18-15, with Raleigh becoming the first catcher to ever win the Home Run Derby. And second Mariner, Ken Griffey Jr. did it 3 times from 1994 to 1999. Also, Raleigh had his dad pitching to him, and his younger 15-year-old brother was the catcher. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty darn cool family memory for them. The All-Star Game will be played tonight at 7 p.m. on Fox. Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan are the representatives for the Twins. Additionally, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks welcome the Kansas City Monarchs to Newman Outdoor Field for a series that begins tonight after an off day yesterday. First pitch at 6 o'clock. Monarchs are 37-21. Redhawks enter a game under 500 at 29-30 on the season. Minnesota Lynx defeated the Chicago Sky 91-78 on Monday night. Did not come without a little bit of a hiccup, though. They were down 2 points at the half before outscoring the Sky by 15 in the second half. The Lynx now 4-0 this season, coming off of a loss, improving to 19-4 on the year. Nafisa Collier had 29 points, 5 assists, 3 steals. She was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. And you had Courtney Williams go bananas again with 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 steals in that victory. The Lynx are now going to return to Target Center for a 5-game homestand that begins Wednesday afternoon when they take on the Phoenix Mercury. The Minnesota Timberwolves continue summer league play against the Detroit Pistons this afternoon. Tip off at 3:30. Coverage available nationally on NBA TV as they look to try and improve from their 2-0 record that they currently have. The high school basketball Lions All-Star games began at Bismarck Legacy last night, and it saw in the girls division the AB All-Stars boat race to AA All-Stars in the second half. It was kind of crazy. The AA All-Stars were up 39-36 at the half, but the AB All-Stars would score 65 second half points, making 16 three-pointers and take down the AA All-Stars 101-73. Sophia Heedley would lead the way with the AB All-Stars with 23 points. Zoe Austin had 12 points for the AA Stars. In the boys game, you had the AA All-Stars take down the Class A and B All-Stars 99-76. Minot's Peyton Schell would lead the way with 24 points and 7 rebounds, while Jet Lundin for the AB All-Stars would go 8-for-11 from the free throw line and have 22 points. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, we will have Night 2 of the Lions All-Star Basketball Classic with the girls game tipping off at 6 o'clock. Boys game 20 minutes to follow that one. Jason and I on the call as they get one final crack at it. This year, the AB girls looking to sweep, the AA boys looking to sweep the 49th annual Lions All-Star festivities, and one final time as well that this class of 2025 will be able to square off against each other before they branch off in their future endeavors, whether that involves college athletics, just college and an academics capacity, maybe just into the workforce. So a really cool opportunity, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to cover it tonight.
Yeah, fun. I had to Google because you said, what, the Home Run Derby, 471 feet or something
Yeah,
like
yep,
that.
Yeah, Raleigh, it was literally 1 inch that he hit it further than Rooker.
And I thought, that's pretty darn far. And I'm like, well, how far is the furthest home run ever hit? Any ideas?
Well, O'Neill Cruz hit a 515-footer last night. I don't know what the longest ever is.
Oh, it's got to be, I don't know, 554.
I think...
You're pretty close. Jace is pretty close. The longest home run ever hit in professional baseball was some guy named Joey Meyer in 1987. He was playing for the Denver Zephyrs, which is a AAA affiliate of the Brewers. He hit a ball 582 feet at Mile High Stadium.
That makes sense. The ball really carries well out there.
Oh, very much. That's why pitchers don't sign yeah. in Colorado.
No, yeah. They don't want to really be out there in Denver because their ERA goes bye-bye.
Like, historically, pitchers, it's mm-hmm. it's pretty crazy. It's like a yeah. 2 or 2.5 points higher
yep.
in Colorado than it is elsewhere.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, and who knows if it's lore or whatever, but supposedly before StatCast was measuring home runs, Babe Ruth hit a 575-foot home run. There was also chatter that he hit him 600 feet, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, probably some of
those.
We
didn't have the stats like you do nowadays. Either.
True, but you might not have also had the pitchers, because look at the size and shape that Babe Ruth was in. I mean, he was just a big dude that could mm-hmm. just launch that mm-hmm. ball. So, mm-hmm. I mean, usually on every softball team, there's a guy like that too. Don't let him hit it, but you know, all of a sudden he just goes out, and you got to play in those leagues where you only get a couple home runs an inning. Otherwise, mm-hmm. everybody would be putting him out of the park. Mm-hmm.
But they have in the record books mm-hmm. this Joey Meyer, 582 feet. That's a pretty long hit. Yeah. I see John Elway will not be charged in that fatal golf cart accident in which his
friend fell off.
Yeah, his former agent was riding with him.
Yeah.
They said there was nothing criminal involved. They're mm-hmm. ruled it a tragic accident.
Yeah, and sometimes the family of the victim, they want what they feel is just, and they feel that John was at fault, and while he is, in essence, at fault for he was the one driving the cart, I mean, it wasn't intentional. That's mm-hmm. the biggest thing, you know, going from potentially a wrongful death to an actual criminal conviction is intent.
I always wonder if there's drinking involved, right?
Yeah.
Because you hear golf cart,
yeah, yeah.
cart, and you hear golf tournament, and then you hear accident, but there was never any word out that alcohol or anything
right.
played a factor here. And the sheriff's offices, investigators found nothing criminal. They just ruled it a tragic accident.
Yeah.
And that can happen too. People
yeah.
follow, they said they couldn't determine why he fell out, and who knows? Just sometimes people just lose their balance and fall out.
Sometimes, tragically. I mean, sometimes you think about those individuals that ended up paralyzed because they attempt to dive into a body of water that they assume is deeper than it is, and mm-hmm. they fracture a vertebrae in their neck, and they're left paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't remember how it happened. I'd have to go back and look at the text, but a family friend's grandson ended up in the hospital with a large laceration to their scalp because they had either fallen into the water or tried to dive into the water, and they were by the boat ramp.
Stuff happens.
And there's a big chunk of their scalp, and they had to mm-hmm. go in and have a follow-up little procedure to remove some of the infection in that area. So mm-hmm. it's you know, sometimes bad things happen with no bad intent.
Right.
So.
You're just having a good time,
mm-hmm.
having fun.
Absolutely.
And we had caught yesterday morning on one of the national talk shows or whatever, they were mm-hmm. they had something that we thought it was a spaghetti popsicle
no,
or something.
It was a spaghetti.
What does that even mean? So it's not made out of spaghetti, though. Miller High.
What do you mean? What does it mean? I didn't make it up.
I mean, but you think spaghetti? You think spaghetti?
Well, they exactly. That's why I was confused because it was also orange because it looked like it was going to be made out of like spaghetti, and I couldn't understand why they're eating these popsicles, these spaghetti popsicles. I'm like, well, that's gross. Turns out to make it, it's a 3-ingredient drink, and they obviously made it into a popsicle. And if I can get my phone,
See what spaghetti in itself. What does spaghetti mean?
Well, but the Miller Lite version is a 1 Miller High Life, 1 ounce of Aperol, A-P-E-R-O-L, and a squeeze of lemon juice, and that's mixed together. And it makes a spaghetti, and they made it into a popsicle. So it wasn't as gross as I thought it was. It was an alcoholic popsicle, basically what it was, and I didn't realize that. I thought they were literally eating spaghetti popsicles, and I couldn't figure out how the Miller Lite High Life had a connection to spaghetti, but it's much different than that.
Yeah, it does, like I just Googled spaghetti to see the way they have it spelled to see if it means, I mean, nothing really other than spaghetti, unless you look at Urban Dictionary. This one's a safe one. An object of desire that is never to be touched. Sometimes you look at Urban Dictionary and you do not want to repeat those things. They're usually pretty
naughty.
Well,
you can't say it on the air. You might want to repeat them. You just can't.
To your friends, but not on the air. So, okay, interesting.
Spaghetti is a beer-based cocktail that's a variation of the Aperol Spritz, created in 2016 by Baltimore bartender Reed Cahill.
Some of those, they might be fun for adults to have around, but if you have littles in the house, those aren't a very safe.
Yeah, it looked like the classic
frozen beverage, like a push-up.
Yeah, it looked like a push-up pop, and that's why, of course, that got my attention. Like, ooh, push-up pops, and then it's just like, oh, it's by Miller Lite, and then of course we're always got the TVs on, but sometimes you just
well the
you
volume's
see it.
Down.
The volume's down. I mean, you got to try and read the closed captioning, and you're just like, what are they talking about?
A couple interesting stories here on the medical front, and we will talk about those coming up next. Had a couple sprinkles here overnight. Could see some more rain later in the day, but Dino saying heads up, Bemidji, Brainerd, Alexandria area, they could see some storms later today. He will have more on our forecast coming up. Well, let's hear people talking about vitamin D and how it's hard to get enough vitamin D where we live, especially, you know, like in the winter months. There's a new study out. The Cleveland Clinic says 10 to 30 minutes of sun exposure a day is enough for adequate vitamin D production. 10 to 30 minutes. Also, it can boost your mood and improve your sleep. And they say, you know, obviously you can take a supplement. Both some foods contain vitamin D. The sun is your best source.
Of vitamin D as opposed to
vitamin D, 10 minutes, 10 to 30 minutes.
That's weird.
I take a vitamin D supplement just because I don't know. I just because I do.
Is that vitamin D? I think it's vitamin D, yeah.
A lot of people do in this part of the country, like I said, because of the wintertime and stuff.
Yeah, and
don't
I think
sun.
I don't know. That's B12. No, that's vitamin D that I was taking even before my heart transplant. And there's something on there, and I don't really know why, but that's like one of the medications or whatever that was like prescribed after the transplant. And I don't know. I think there's something I Googled that you might have. Maybe you have a little bit of harder time producing vitamin D after our transplant. But I was taking it before anyway because I think it also helps with your immune system.
Yeah, a lot of people take vitamin D and like B12 or whatever you mentioned for energy. A lot of people do that too. However, be aware of, and they always say be careful of certain supplements too. I've seen a couple stories now, two stories in the past couple of weeks here about turmeric supplements in which people have suffered. One of them, it was a guy. He was even, I think he was a nurse, some type. He worked at a hospital clinic. I believe he was a nurse. And he had been taking him only for 2 months. He had to have a liver transplant. And then more recently, I think I ran across one a couple days ago where a woman also had liver damage from these turmeric supplements that are available.
Yeah, because I think there was a story that came out a couple months ago that says too much turmeric can be bad for you. So there was also, I think
and
I'm
a lot
getting
of those supplements are not regulated either.
No, and I think there was one that there was a different story that was like too much taurine.
Taurine, yeah.
In like your energy drinks, that can be bad for you as well. So, I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, it's one of those things, too, where you have too much of anything. I mean, you want enough that the body needs it. And, of course, my understanding was, like, if you take vitamin supplements, like a vitamin B or vitamin D, right, that if you've got enough and your body doesn't need it, it'll just supposedly...
Some of them.
But some of them, obviously, it's not doing that. So if you get too much, it can, you know, be a problem. So you want to have the right amount, because we have some extra vitamin D ones, but the amount in each pill was way more than I need. And my wife was like, well, you can just have these, and you can, like, instead of taking them one every day, you can take, like, one a week. And I'm like, it's just easier if I get the lower dosage and just do it every day like I'm prescribed to.
Check with your doctor. But heads up for those turmeric ones. Yeah. Like I said, I've seen two stories now in the past week or two in which people have had serious liver failure and had to have
which is too bad, because I believe turmeric, isn't that the one that's supposed to help with swelling too?
Yeah, it's. I mean, and you can use it in different recipes and stuff. It's a common household thing, but I think it's just too much in these capsules that are, like I said, they're unregulated by the FDA, and people are buying them and taking them, and it seems like those who are going to be affected by them, it happens really quick, like in a month or two.
Well, and it's like normally if you get a vitamin, you know, say it's turmeric and say it's a 500 milligram or 200 milligram tablet, and that's enough. Well, there's always going to be those companies that have, like, you know, 1,000 milligrams per pill, you know, and you can really get your turmeric in. Well, then if you, you know, like you said, you start doing too much and it's not good for you or for you personally, then you can have issues right away.
Be careful. It is 6:34. Time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And, guys, we had a little bit of light rain overnight, just a couple hundredths of an inch here in the FM area, but heavier amounts in the Northern Valley in northwest Minnesota, and also out to the west of Carrington. There was some heavier pockets of rain as well. But we're not going to see a whole lot of rainfall today if you're needing a good drink of water for the lawn or garden. Mother Nature not going to supply a whole lot, but we'll start off the morning here mainly on the dry side throughout much of the area, and we'll see increasing chances for showers as we head throughout the day today. It's going to turn breezy as well as winds pick up out of the north at about 15 to 25. Highs only in the low 70s today. A few isolated showers continue tonight, mid-50s. The north wind's still breezy. And for Wednesday, breezy, cool with a few light showers. Again, a couple hundredths of an inch expected on Wednesday. Maybe up to a tenth of an inch, but that's about it. With highs only in the upper 60s on Wednesday. But the big day of the week is Thursday. Looking great. Mid-70s, sunny skies, light winds. Clouds come back on Friday, and we'll see a few scattered showers. And that will be mainly in the afternoon into the overnight hours with highs in the 70s. And the weekend right now looks dry. And warming up with temps back into the about 80-degree range or so on Saturday and in the low to mid-80s on Sunday. So the weekend doesn't look too bad, but we've got a few chances of rain between now and then. But again, nothing that looks terribly heavy, at least in the FM area.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
6:36. We do have tickets to give away sometime this week here for the North Dakota State Fair. Tickets for Jelly Roll. Just have a pair of those. But we've got a couple of pairs of tickets for Sawyer Brown and Luke Bryan. If you want to win those and you have not won anything in the past month on WDAY Radio, doesn't matter what time of day, you have a one-month limit. If you haven't won anything in the past month, you are eligible. But if you have, then sit this one out. But be listening here on Bonnie and Friends for an opportunity to win those tickets. 6:36, right now, your national news from ABC. We'll check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:41, time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Timberwolves will continue summer league this afternoon against the Detroit Pistons in Las Vegas. Tip-off at 3:30. Coverage available on NBA TV. Minnesota Lynx would, well, for the fourth time this season, they would win their first game off of a loss with a 91-78 win over the Chicago Sky. They did find themselves trailing by two at the half, but they outscored Chicago by 15 points in the second half. That wrapped up their four-game road trip with Nafisa Collier leading the way, 29 points. Courtney Williams had 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 steals. Lynx are now 19-4 in the season. They return home to the Target Center. They begin a five-game homestand on Wednesday afternoon when they take on the Phoenix Mercury. Tonight on WDAY Radio, we're going to have the Lions All-Star Basketball Classic. Night number two at Fargo South. Last night you saw the Class A and B girls All-Stars take down the AA girls, and then the AA boys took down the Class A and B boys All-Stars. So tonight, beginning at 6 p.m., the girls game will tip off. Full play-by-play coverage here on WDAY Radio. Then the boys game will be 20 minutes later. Jason and I on the call for both of those. The final time, the Class of 2025 will square off before branching off to their future endeavors. The MLB's Home Run Derby was last night, and in the first round, it saw Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz hit 21 home runs apiece to advance to the semifinals. Byron Buxton hit 20, and Kyle Raleigh was 17. The second round, Kyle Raleigh would outslug O'Neill Cruz 19-13, and Byron Buxton, hitting first, struggled with only 7 home runs, was walked off by Caminero, who had 8 home runs in the first 60 seconds of that second round. The championship, Kyle Raleigh would defeat Junior Caminero 18-15. With Raleigh becoming the first catcher to win the Home Run Derby and second Mariner joining Ken Griffey Jr., who did so 3 times from 1994 to 1999. Raleigh had his father pitching to him in the Derby and his younger brother, who is 15 years old, catching for him in the Derby. Cool. Pretty darn sweet in that respect. The All-Star Game will be played tonight at 7 p.m. Coverage available nationally on Fox. The Twins with 2 representatives, Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan. The Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, after an off day yesterday, will welcome the Kansas City Monarchs to Newman Outdoor Field tonight. First pitch at 6 p.m., the Redhawks enter with a record of 29-30. The Monarchs are 37-21 on the season.
Your mic keeps cutting out. Cord issue over there or something.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
is it
back.
Better?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even feel like anything. Well.
Well, you don't wear your headphones, so you wouldn't notice these things.
Well, I'm not wearing them because I'm jumping out of the studio.
I know. It's okay. That's why I wear headphones, so I notice issues when we have them.
Well, I don't know. Well,
it's just
we're
being
fixed.
A little fizzly. We're fixed. You're good.
We're fixed. Okay. And,
did I throw you off?
Pretty much.
Believe it or not. How about that?
His mic was fizzling out. And you don't have your headphones on either over there.
He doesn't pay attention regardless. It doesn't matter.
He's obsessed with his phone on TikTok or something. TikToks. I like TikToks. He likes TikToks.
I do. Mm-hmm. Although I don't mind TikToks either.
The MLB draft concluded yesterday with rounds 4 through 20. And North Dakota State scheduled to be incoming freshman Tyson Moran was selected by the Royals with a 398th pick, the 13th round of the draft. He's a left-handed hitting shortstop out of Ontario, actually. And so he, we'll see if he ends up signing or if he ends up with the Bison. I would imagine being a 13th round pick that you'd end up signing in college still and going through that hole. But he's a 15th Bison player selected in the draft dating back to 1968, fifth straight year the Bison have had a player selected in the draft and ninth overall since 2013. Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls combines the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course. Book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
646, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. I didn't even know these were a thing, but I know we came across a story, like, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago about a water buffalo in the U.S. somewhere. I don't know. They had to rescue it because it got in water or whatever. But I didn't even realize we had water buffalo in this country.
Well, I'm surprised the water buffalo was in the water.
Well, I don't know what this is. It was stuck in mud or something, if I remember right. But there's
don't be a stick in the mud, Bonnie.
No, I know. In Jones, Oklahoma, a man was killed after being attacked by 2 water buffalo. Emergency crews called to the scene after this guy was attacked. He had bought the water buffalo the day before, and he died of his injuries, and then they put those water buffalo down. I guess
Why did he buy water buffalo?
Some people like it for their milk.
Yeah.
There's not a lot in the U.S. I did a quick Google.
Obviously.
4,000 to 7,000 only in the United States, primarily used for dairy farming, with their milk being used to make mozzarella cheese, however you want to pronounce it. Also for meat production, which is known for being lean and low in cholesterol. Yeah, when I ran across that first story, like I said, about 4 months back, is that, wait, we have water buffalo in the United States? I had never heard that before.
No, I mean, yeah, there's definitely not very many, but it's kind of interesting that they would be brought to the U.S. for milk and for their meat as well. And if it's leaner and the milk is
like a bison kind of.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm just surprised that then more people wouldn't be wanting to bring them over and make them more mainstream.
Maybe they will. Maybe it's a growing market.
Could be. I mean,
something we have to research.
Yeah, sometimes you'd almost think you'd want to try and maybe crossbreed them genetically with cattle here to bring, you know, get some of the benefits of water buffalo, but have those animals here that obviously are more hardy and maybe are a bit more acclimated to the temperature, especially like, say, for the upper Midwest.
But. Interesting. All right. It was on the state in entertainment history. These rockers had to cancel a forthcoming U.S. tour after one of their members was involved in a freak accident. We'll tell you who it is and what band it is coming up in Flatland Music Flashback. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We do that right around 6:56 each and every morning. It's 6:48. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
So on this date in 1978, this band started a two-week run at number one with an album cover that featured the band in drag alongside select female celebrities and lingerie ads. Find out who that was and what song was on the top of the charts coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
You ever heard William Shatner do the version of this song?
No.
It's all speaking. It's not singing. I'm a rocket man.
Okay.
1972, Elton John started a five-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with his fifth studio album, Honky Chateau. I didn't know he had an album named that. His first U.S. chart topper.
The album was titled after the 18th century French chateau where it was recorded. Both tracks on the album, Rocket Man and Honky Cat, were released singles. Yeah.
You should have played
back,
that.
You
should
have Cat. You know
should have played that one. I don't. That doesn't sound familiar. 1978, the Rolling Stones started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with Some Girls. The album cover featured the Rolling Stones in drag alongside select female celebrities and lingerie ads.
The got into a little trouble with that cover.
Yeah. When Lucille Ball, Farrah Fawcett, and Liza Minnelli, Raquel Welch, and the state of Marilyn Monroe all threatened legal action.
Yeah, Beast of Burden, of course, one of the big hits off that album.
Liza Minnelli is the daughter of Judy Garland?
Yeah.
One of their better songs. Although at one point in time, to be honest, I thought it was a female lead singer. 1989.
Mick Hucksnell
or
something like that.
He's got a very high voice. 1989, Simply Red scored their second U.S. number one with If You Don't Know Me By Now.
British soul and pop band also had a U.S. number one hit with Holding Back the Years. The band broke up for 5 years but got back together in 2015. They're still performing.
1998, Aerosmith were forced to cancel a forthcoming U.S. tour after Joey Kramer was involved in a freak accident.
Drummer's car started on fire and was destroyed as he was filling up with gas. He was admitted to the hospital with second-degree burns. Owie. Mm. It's like a song about Waisaki.
I thought it was a song about James. 2005, Victor Edward Willis, the original police officer in the Village People, was arrested after police found a gun and drugs in his convertible in Daly City, which is south of San Francisco.
Willis also had an outstanding $15,000 felony warrant for possession of drugs.
Having a birthday today, she is good. Linda Ronstadt is 79. She had the 1975 number one single, You're No Good. She also had 15 other U.S. top 40s. She earned 11 Grammys and numerous other awards.
Fantastic. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Waisaki is here with a check on your forecast.
And we're looking at a lot of clouds to start off your day. We didn't really pick up much rain, most of it 0.05 of an inch or less here in the FM area, so not a good soaking by any means. And I'm not expecting a whole lot today. We're looking at a drier start to the morning with temperatures currently in the 60s. Upper 60s in the far southern valley and upper 50s in the far northern valley. We'll warm up today to the upper 60s in the far northern valley to the low to mid 70s for everybody else. And it will turn breezy as winds pick up out of the north at 15 to 25. And we'll see a few scattered showers, especially as we head into the afternoon. An isolated shower or two overnight tonight with mid 50s. And then as we head into Wednesday, a lot of clouds around and a few scattered light rain showers with highs only in the upper 60s. We'll drop into the 40s Wednesday night. Oh, open up the windows, except for we'll probably have a little bit of that Canadian smoke still in the area. And then Thursday, pick day of the week, sunny skies, highs in the mid-70s. Rain comes back into the forecast for Friday with highs in the 70s. It looks like the weekend should be dry with highs between 80 and 85 on Saturday and Sunday. So all in all, not a bad-looking weekend forecast, and just not a lot of rain in the forecast. A lot of these, enough just to kind of ruin any outdoor plans if you, you know, if you're going to be out golfing or whatnot, but no heavy rain.
What is
that I'm seeing?
Timing of that Friday rain, because the downtown street fair kicks off Thursday.
Yeah, Friday looks like kind of an all day event.
Oh, okay.
on and off all day. Yeah, but more, I think more so. Probably late afternoon, we'll see. It'll increase throughout the day as it moves in from the west. So I think by afternoon and evening, I think we'll see a little bit more widespread rain over the area on Friday.
All right, this weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. And yesterday, Bonnie had to take liberty and come up with her own tailgater's treatery guarantee.
Well, what was on the website?
Well, just
well,
wait.
I fudged it a
just
little
wait.
Just to be different.
She did different. Yeah, so she said the high temp for yesterday was going to be 87, and the actual temperature yesterday was what, Dean?
88. Good
you
deal.
You had 88, but I thought, no. He's not showing up on the show, so I'm going to change it.
There you go.
And I wanted Long Island teas again.
Yeah,
well,
but
sorry.
You,
yeah, we missed.
You missed it anyway.
You would have even missed it anyway.
All right. So you can celebrate tonight at Tailgaters with a $2 domestic pint tap for your first one. After that, they're just $4 each the rest of the night. So get to Tailgaters to celebrate, and you can enjoy live music on Thursday nights out on the patio. Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
All right. See you later, Dean.
You got it.
You bet. 7:06. Dang it. We're going to check in with your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:09, time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, the Home Run Derby saw Byron Buxton participate, the first twin participate since 2017 when Miguel Sano did so. He got past the first round because he hit 20 home runs. That was second to Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz's 21 apiece. Kyle Raleigh hit 17. Second round, Buxton struggled. He only hit 7 as he was the first hitter of the of that round. Junior Caminero, who he's squaring off against, would hit 8 in the first minute, knocking Buxton out of it. Kyle Raleigh, the catcher for Seattle, would hit 19, outslugging O'Neill Cruz, who had 13. But O'Neill Cruz did have a 515-foot home run, so he had that going for him. And in the championship, Kyle Raleigh, 18 home runs to Caminero's 15. Raleigh becoming the first catcher to ever win the Derby, along with being the second Mariner, joining Ken Griffey Jr., who did so 3 times from 94 to 99. The All-Star Game is tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox. 2 twins will be represented with Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks welcoming Kansas City and the Monarchs to Human Outdoor Field for a series that begins tonight with a doubleheader. 6 p.m. will be first pitch of Game 1. And then Game 2 to follow suit about 30 minutes after that one concludes. And the Redhawks enter at 29-30. Monarchs are 37-21 on the season. Minnesota Timberwolves continue summer league play this afternoon against the Detroit Pistons. 3:30 is tip-off. Coverage available nationally on NBA TV. And the Lynx are now 4-0 this season after following a loss. They wrapped up their road trip with a 91-78 victory over the Sky in Chicago yesterday afternoon. They trailed by 2 at the half before outscoring the Sky by 15 points in that second half. Nafisa Collier with 29 points, Courtney Williams with 18, and Kayla McBride with 17. The Lynx are now 19-4 and return home to the Target Center for a 5-game homestand that begins Wednesday afternoon when they take on the Phoenix Mercury. And tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, it's the Lions All-Star Basketball Classic doubleheader, the 49th annual. They squared off in Bismarck Legacy last night with the Class A and B girls defeating the AA girls, and then the AA boys defeating the Class A and B boys. Girls game will tip off at 6 p.m. Boys game to follow suit 20 minutes later. Jason and I on the full play-by-play call for both of those matchups right here on WDAY Radio.
You moonlighting on us? You see, they got a new mascot at the downtown street fair, which kicks off Thursday. The downtown raccoon, a playful new mascot.
Don't let them fool you. It's a trash panda.
Yeah.
And I wish that they would start, you know, that they wouldn't shy away from it. It's a great name, Trash Panda.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's basically what they do, yeah.
Yeah, that's all they do. They just scour through the garbage, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you find some good stuff in there.
Well, this Trash Panda embodies the spirit of discovery and urban foraging.
See, exactly.
Urban foraging, but not for, like, trash. Art, food, crafts, and adventure at every turn, they say.
Which you can find all of which in a dumpster.
Yeah. I don't know if the downtown raccoon wants to eat that business.
Well, if he's that high end, that's we gotta fix
that.
You
got all the great food down there at the downtown street fair.
There's some good stuff there.
Oh, would you call this downtown raccoon bougie?
Yeah, very much so.
Downtown street fair, and it's not going to be too hot this year, so I like that.
It's going to cool off this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my kind of weather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's been years where it's like, no, 90-some degrees, hot humidity, smoke. Nope, no thank you, I'll pass, but this
year thrive.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this morning when I was leaving the house about 5:30 that we were only supposed to cool off a couple degrees the rest of the day, and I thought, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah.
Yeah, so 10 to 9 both Thursday and Friday, downtown street fair in Fargo, and 10 to 5 on Friday.
Oh, really? It goes that late, huh? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome.
And people always have to remember, that's the days they've always been. They've never done Sunday. Some people might think, well, why don't you do Sunday? Because it's a lot of work, and a lot of these vendors.
Well, they got to get up and moving and packed up and whatnot.
Some
don't
live in town here. You know, they got to travel and stuff. But nonetheless, lots of people will make their way to downtown Fargo to take that. They say 100,000 visitors take part in the downtown street fair. That doesn't surprise me.
No, it's still just such a it's such a huge number. It's kind of surprising in that sense.
Yeah, and it's fun to look at all the different, you know, artisans with their wares, whatever you're looking for, arts and crafts, you know, maybe lawn ornaments, ornaments or something cut out of. I mean, there's so much fun stuff that you will find at the downtown street fair, and of course the food. I like to look at all the stuff and buy some of the stuff, but I'm also there for the food, let's be honest.
I only
that's,
go there.
That's why I'm big into that.
I mean, I would walk over there from the office downtown, and I would just, I mean, I'm I'll there looking around, but I mean, I'm just there looking at the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there are some different creative vendors that have, you know, items and stuff that you kind of like to browse, almost flea market style of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But the deep fried insert your food, I'm big into that stuff, big into it.
Looking forward to it. And of course, they've got a lot of, you know, music down there, free concerts and different things going on, story time. They've got yoga going on. The Pacatanas are going to be doing a performance on Thursday, nice. Too. Yeah, Gooseberry Park Players. That's what I like, too, when we showcase the different talent that product, and then you get more people to go to your plays or musicals or whatever. FM Ballet is going to be doing stuff down there. Trollwood. Lots of stuff going on. So downtown street fair in Fargo, 49th year. That's crazy.
Yeah. Next year is going to be 50, man.
Yeah. Thursday, Friday, 10 to 9 are the hours, and then Saturday from 10 to 5. Looking forward to it. More than 200 vendors offering unique handmade goods, crafts, and regional favorites. And two, then if you work downtown or you're going downtown, obviously there's going to be some streets that are closed off for the street fair beginning tomorrow, too, to get that in place. There's another one. My son ran into it, and I had seen the email on it, but I didn't think much of it. It's like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But he was running to Cashwise in Moorhead off 34th Street, and they do have some type of little detour that I think just started yesterday over there, so you kind of have to route around.
Yeah.
But 'tis the season.
Really?
You got to get this work done. Yeah.
Good golly, guys. They closed down the road next to where I live in South Moorhead for a week.
Yeah.
I thought they were repaving the road. They just patched like three spots. You had the thing closed down for a week for that? I was like, God, you should have just, we're paying enough in taxes. Just finish the rest of the road, man. Redo the road.
There's lots of, I remember.
They probably didn't have time for the whole project, just probably a good portion of it. But myself as an outsider that had nothing to do with it except for paying taxes on it, it'd be kind of nice if they would have just, a whole new thing.
Yeah, it's all about you and having a nice, smooth ride to your
home.
Wouldn't
that be? Well, it would be nice to not have to, you know, get my shocks checked, you know, every couple of months.
Yeah, some of those ones, you depending on which lane you're in on the Red River Bridge where they're doing construction.
Oh,
if you're in the outside lane.
If you're in that right lane, right about the. And sometimes, you know, depending on when you have semis, things of those sorts, there's not traffic merging in. There's a couple of spots there where.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll put yourself in the air a little bit.
Yeah, the other day was the first time I've been in the right lane going eastbound, and I hit a few of those. It's just like, oh, I'm glad I usually drive in the left-hand lane when I'm going this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And likewise, if you're going westbound,
you can't even blame a state for it because it's right over the river.
No, and I suppose they're doing jackhammering and, you know, they're fixing, so it's bound to shake some more stuff loose as they're doing work there.
I suppose, yeah, between that and the rumbling of other vehicles, yeah. It just slowly kind of chips away or chisels away at some of that.
And that construction zone's been going pretty smooth on I-94, the Red River Bridge, except for you will get backups during peak travel times, you know.
Oh, that's when like it stinks. 7 to 9 and 4 to 6.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yep, noon hour rush maybe, but if it's not peak travel time, then it's no problem going through there. But, yeah, I can get backed up just a little bit. But they're doing their job. They're getting things done.
Some of it is because some of y'all need to learn how to zipper merge.
Oh, I saw somebody complaining in a Facebook chat group about how to zipper merge.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. That would save a good 10 minutes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you don't, you know, you're going to slow down, but you're not going to hit your brakes and go bumper to bumper and everybody's going to be sitting there while somebody is walking down the side of the road smoking a cigarette because their car has been stopped for 3 minutes.
Yeah. I think what happens is, you know, you're in your lanes and you're locked into traffic and the outside lane is still open, for instance, when you're going I-94 eastbound. Mm-hmm. And people think that those people are trying to cheat traffic, but ideally they're really doing what you're kind of supposed to be doing, but people don't realize how to zipper merge, like you said.
But at the same point, when it says lane closed in half a mile, that doesn't mean wait 0.4 miles to start entertaining the merge.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to get the proper lane ahead of time.
You're just assuming that, I can keep going and get past three more vehicles.
Yep. Somebody, we're all going the same speed, you can't.
Yep. And then, because of that, then it backs things up further for those that are already waiting in line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so don't lose your cool. Be patient behind the wheel as construction season. Full swing here for another several months. Usually October is the wrap-up date for that. Stops for Project SafeSend. I know WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has been telling us about those, but they've been moving around the state, and she'll have an update on the latest stops involved coming up in your WDAY Ag News straight ahead.
7:21, we head out to the farm with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic, and so many good things going on. So, one of them is to make sure that if you have your unwanted and unused pesticides that you want to get rid of, maybe you found some things in the garage and you're like, that probably froze over the winter. I should get that out of here. Project SafeSend is a place to do that. Sponsored by the North Dakota Department of Ag, they will take, remove, and incinerate unused pesticides. Notice I did not say oil, motor oils, antifreezes, and paints.
Yeah.
But they will remove those items for you and dispose of them properly. Sites this week include today in Tioga, Routon, Kildare, Dickinson, Beulah, and then next week we get a little bit closer with Bismarck, Edgeley, and Valley City. If you've got questions, you can get a hold of the Department of Ag out in Bismarck. They will happily point you in the right direction. Well, also, this Saturday is what's called the RF Dash event. It is a Rural Firefighters Delivering Ag Safety and Health event. It is free. If you're a local fire department and you'd like to send someone or two, it is a class size capped at 25 people. It'll be at Aminia on the John Hale Farm, which is north of Castleton. What are they going to do? Well, it's a train-the-trainer opportunity. And so the items that you're going to learn will include introducing ag emergencies, pre-planning and mapping farms with the farmmapper.org, farm hazard analysis, farm first aid, and more. And those items you can now learn and take all that information back to your fire department and community for use locally. Glad to have you doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on something like that, on classes like that, obviously it's a train-to-trainer opportunity. But when it comes to something like probably more of the rural and volunteer fire departments in our ag communities, then is that, I don't know if you know this or not, is that a large part of their training in addition to just being able to, provide, paramedic type of care for injuries and then also obviously putting out fires, et cetera?
So I can base this off of what I know about the town where I live and where I grew up. Small town fire departments, when it comes to first aid and paramedic care, they're going to have the basics down. Mm-hmm. They're going to wait for the ambulance squad, and sometimes you do both. Sometimes you're a fireman and you're also on the ambulance squad, so you're going to do double duty on this. The training that you can get is so invaluable because you have an opportunity to go to state fire school every winter, but it's not always focused on just what's happening agriculturally. So here's an opportunity for towns, especially that are working with large farm operations. Maybe you haven't been well versed in grain bin entrapments. Maybe you don't realize what could be some of the higher priority concerns on a farm when you pull up and there's a fire situation, whether it's dealing with anhydrous or it could be fuel spills, etc. So these are great learning opportunities to bring in new information whenever possible. So I know that not everybody has a whole another Saturday in their life to give up for training, mm-hmm. but in the end, I can see where this provides something so viable for yourself and for the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, especially with all those different types of scenarios that can happen sure. on a farm compared to just, you know, a normal structure fire in a metro area. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously they got to be trained and well-versed in a lot of different things, especially out in the rural areas. But, you know, just getting that extra training is always beneficial. I know that in my last career, when you got different types of training, it at least made you mentally prepared for what mm-hmm. potentially could happen. And then that way, when something kind of unexpected happens, you're more ready to adapt to that situation as opposed to kind of panicking. So.
Sure, you have a little different perspective mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. I will tell you probably one of the, I don't know if I should say weird, but wildest days in our ag classes in high school was the day that we talked about first aid mm-hmm. on the farm, and they showed pictures of arms and legs stuck in augers or someone who had been injured by, you know, grabbing a hold of a PTO, a live PTO shaft. Those are bad days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of awful injuries and unfortunately death that comes from that. And when you live in a small town and you pull up on scene for mm-hmm. an accident like that, you'll likely know who's involved.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's really hard. I mean, and I'm still probably mentally scarred from the video when I was in high school. I haven't forgotten the auger incident. I remember my dad and uncle pointing out the augers and the PTOs on his farm. And I'm like, don't worry, I'm going to be way far away from them.
Yeah, I'll be over here in the other county while this is going on.
Exactly,
thanks for asking.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, other things that happen on the farm, well, weed control. And one of those problematic species that we see out in the ditches are leafy spurge. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're driving down the road and you see a bright yellow field that's blooming right now, that's canola. The taller stuff, sunflowers, that'll come later this year. But in the ditches, sometimes you see a bright yellow that's more of a goldenrod or some other weed species, or I shouldn't say weed species, but plant species that's out there. That dull yellow bushy-headed flower, that's leafy spurge. And mm-hmm. leafy spurge is incredibly invasive. It's also noxious. In a number of states, North Dakota and South Dakota actually require you to control that by law. What are some of the things to be thinking about? Well, that seed is getting to be the point of viability right now. Are you going to be able to control it? Your best time is actually in mid-June till this point. What are you going to use? Well, often we use 2,4-D or we use Tordon, which has its active ingredient of picloram. Now, don't always use the same thing over and over. That's the same methodology in crop, is we got to use different modes of action. So consider, if you haven't already, using a product like Plateau. Plateau's active ingredient is imazapic. That's a group 2 versus the Tordon and 2,4-D are group 4s. And then you can use a group 14, sulfufenacel, which is Sharpen. So that gives you a little way to break up what you're normally using, different modes of action, preventing any possibility of resistance in the ditches, in the pastures, wherever you might be spraying your leafy spurge. If you're thinking about doing it by ground, great. If you don't know that that's the right method for you, there are aerial applicators out there that use drones that would be able to cover that area for you. You just got to give them a call. There's several operating in the area.
And I Googled it because I wanted to see the picture, but I see cattle, if they graze on it, they can even die from it.
Ooh,
yeah, if they would overgraze on it. And cows normally won't eat that, or cattle won't, unless there's nothing else.
Nothing, yeah.
Oh, sure.
But you still don't want that wrapped up in bales and that type of thing.
Definitely.
That's why you want to get rid of it.
It's funny, Bonnie often calls me noxious.
That's true.
For a variety of reasons, I'm sure.
Noxious.
Oh, noxious. That's that. I'm not noxious unless I go to Taco Bell the day before, but that's a different story.
You know, I'm not your priest or your mother. These are things I don't need to know. Just a heads up for you. All right. Right now, cotton in the U.S. has been struggling, especially the last couple of years. Cotton prices are down significantly. What's our reason for that? Well, the synthetic fibers that are coming out of China and Asian markets are really our biggest competition. Trade wars haven't helped. Right now, we are seeing a very weak cotton market for the U.S. We used to be about 42% of what we did globally. Now we're down to about 17%. Things have changed dramatically. National Cotton Council is trying to increase the awareness and the demand for U.S. cotton, because at this point, it's not just the possibility of losing the acres. We're at the possibility of losing the farms, because folks are so concerned about the overly high input costs, et cetera, to try to raise their cotton. They just can't afford to at this point.
Are we as a country using less cotton? I mean, it seems as though, I mean, there are times you get the 100% cotton t-shirts, for example, but I know for a lot of people, myself included, if you buy the gym wear or certain shirts and stuff for weekend wear, you want that other kind of, maybe it's pre-manufactured or, you know, lab-made, you know, polyester, synthetics, et cetera, to have that moisture wicking technology. So is part of the lack of price on cotton the fact that we're using less of it than we used to?
Yes. Oh, yeah, our demand is down significantly for use of cotton because of the synthetic fibers, which for the very reasons that you mentioned. We like that wicking. We like that cooling of it. It's wonderful to have. Unfortunately, it has really decimated our U.S. cotton industry for agricultural. Yes. So something to keep in mind. All right. Today, Weather and Ag in Focus, we have the opportunity to highlight a couple of interns who've been spending their summer in the region working for a company called My Ag Data. What is that? And what did these guys do? Well, we'll find out when we interview them today. So I look forward to hearing about their summer. Love highlighting youth. The same goes for the fact that I often have interns who come in to help. I will have a student with me again this Friday on air, and just gives them the opportunity to show their skills and find it something new that they might enjoy.
Absolutely. A great opportunity for them to hang out and job shadow you.
And anytime that you have someone who's interested, you can go ahead and reach out to me, ag@flagfamily.com. Would love to share the short application that I have so I can get some information about the student and then bring them on into the process.
There you go. All right, Bridget, have a good day.
See you soon. Thanks.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:31. Again, we've got some tickets we'll be giving away to the North Dakota State Fair. Kicks off this Friday, goes the next couple of weekends. So if you want to win tickets, say, to Jelly Roll, Luke Bryan, or Sawyer Brown, be listening to Bonnie and Friends for an opportunity. 7:31. 7:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast.
Yeah, we've got mainly cloudy skies out there right now with temps in the 60s. And we're looking at breezy conditions throughout the day today. Not a lot of rain on radar right now, but we'll see a few more scattered showers as we head throughout the day. Those will be thunderstorms in Lakes Country and south. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side later this afternoon in Lakes Country. With highs today in the low 70s and a north wind about 15 to 25. And then tonight, a few hit and miss showers with lows in the mid 50s, and Wednesday more of the same. No soaking rain, but just a few hit and miss showers on Wednesday. Cooler. Highs only in the upper 60s. We'll drop down into the 40s for Wednesday night into Thursday morning. That'll feel nice. And then Thursday, pick day of the week. High pressure builds in. Sunshine, light winds, and mid-70s. Clouds come back with a few scattered showers developing in the day on Friday, and highs in the 70s. And then we'll get that rain out of the forecast for the weekend, with highs over the weekend between 80 and 85 on over the weekend. So not a bad-looking forecast over the weekend. Not a hot one, but, hey, not bad for this time of the year.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more.
What's he talking about, not a hot one? 80, 85, that's a hot one.
I try and tune that part out.
Obviously. 7:35, we're going to get your national news inbound from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:38, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Tonight on WDAY Radio, we have the conclusion of the Lions All-Star Basketball, the 49th annual games, with the girls class AA versus All-Stars versus the A and B All-Stars. That'll begin at 6 p.m., and then the AA boys will square off with the A and B boys All-Stars 20 minutes later. Jason and I on the call for both of those. Full game coverage and play-by-play action right here on WDAY Radio. Minnesota Lynx, for, well, the fourth time this season, they won their first game after a loss. They were down 2 at the half, but then would outscore the Sky in Chicago by 15 in the second half, wrapping up that four-game road trip with a 91-78 victory. Nafisa Collier with 29 points, Courtney Williams with 18, and Kayla McBride with 17 points, respectively. In that win, the Lynx are now 19-4, best record in the league, and they return home to the Target Center on Wednesday afternoon to begin a five-game homestand when they take on the Phoenix Mercury. The Minnesota Timberwolves continue summer league play this afternoon in Vegas when they take on the Detroit Pistons. Tip-off at 3:30, coverage available nationally on NBA TV. And the MLB's Home Run Derby yesterday saw Tampa Bay's Junior Caminero and Pittsburgh's O'Neill Cruz each slug 21 home runs in the opening round to advance to the semifinals, with Minnesota's Byron Buxton hitting 20 home runs, and Cal Raleigh of Seattle, the catcher, who also leads baseball in homers, hit 17 to advance to that semifinal round. Kyle Raleigh would outslug O'Neill Cruz 19-13 in the semifinal, while Junior Caminero would walk off Byron Buxton 8-7 in that semifinal. The championship saw Cal Raleigh would win it with 18 home runs to Caminero's 15, Raleigh becoming the first catcher to ever win the Home Run Derby, second Mariner joining Ken Griffey Jr., who did so in a Mariners jersey three times from 94 to 99. Raleigh had his father pitching to him and his younger brother, who is 15 years old, catching for him in the Derby, a full family affair. And the All-Star game tonight at 7 p.m. on Fox, we'll have a couple of Twins representing, with Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan both being participants in the Home Run Derby, or the All-Star game festivities. There we go. Home Run Derby was last night. Yeah. The All-Star game tonight. And the Redhawks return home to Newman Outdoor Field tonight when they take on the Kansas City Monarchs. It'll be a doubleheader with Game 1 at 6, Game 2 at 8:30. That's a couple of seven-inning doubleheaders. The American Association shortens them up a little bit to try and salvage pitching staffs to an extent. Redhawks are 29-31, an opportunity to get back above 500 tonight. And the Monarchs are 37-21 on the season. Additionally, as we round out sports this hour, NDSU baseball, for the kind of crazy fifth straight year, a Bison player has been selected in the MLB draft. They had a signee in Tyson Moran, who's a left-handed hitting shortstop out of Wingham, Ontario, was taken with a 398th overall pick of the 13th round to the Kansas City Royals, becoming the 15th player ever to be drafted out of North Dakota State, and he's also the 9th overall since 2013.
Is he really drafted out of North Dakota State if he hasn't played for North Dakota State yet?
He signed his letter of intent, so that's where you have
that's
that.
A technicality.
It's a technicality, but you know what? He's been drafted now by Kansas City.
See, and, look, all you need to have is a multi-sport athlete that, you know.
You know, maybe he'll probably have to move on from shortstop if he's going to go to Kansas City, because Bobby Witt Jr. signed that 14-year, like, $10.8 trillion deal or whatever it was a couple of seasons ago.
We just need a multi-sport athlete get drafted in the MLB draft that's actually coming to MSUM to play football. That's what we need.
I'd be fine with that. I'd be
the Dragons had a Major League Baseball draft pick.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Well, you need to talk to your guy. We need to get the baseball program back over there at Moorhead.
Hey, you know what? If it was up to me, it would be back. But that's why I'm not in charge of budgetary things, because
I don't even know what you're in
charge
of.
I don't know if I'd be able to keep everything running as smoothly as Chad does.
That's why Chad's in the position he is over there.
He's really good at being bipartisan. As much as I say I don't, I think favoritism does actually play a factor in my life. Just a little bit.
Just a
little bit. So, yeah.
That's, well, you're one of my favorites.
Yeah, like, well, thank you. See?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Just, you know.
Jace hasn't been working very hard today, in case the boss is listening. I'm telling on you. Nobody. I know why, because you have to do the All-Star game tonight. He's been monkeying around all morning.
Yeah, he's trying to. Yeah, he's getting handsy is what he's doing.
I'm telling on you.
Paying bills, doing stuff like that, you know.
All right,
take that.
Yeah, we've got some. You can tell I grew up with a lot of siblings. I'm telling on you. I'm telling mom.
Just lick.
Stop telling me
everything at the table. That's what you got to do. Yeah, that's how I was raised.
Liquors. Yep. I know.
That's the only way that you're gonna get.
But then you're gonna get a sibling who's like, I don't care.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. You know, some of them really are like, if you want seconds, you just lick the whole table.
Yeah, pretty much.
There was something like quack quack. I get my seat back or something if you had to run to the bathroom or something like that.
You could say that all you wanted.
It didn't matter. Whoever was stronger.
That's not in writing. It ain't happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you'll get taken down to the carpet and we end up with rug burn as you're wrestling. Yeah.
Apparently, we've been there, done that, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's my entire life.
Lots of rug burn growing up. Yep, probably had it coming, too. 744, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is going to be in next with your three-degree guarantee. We do have a pair of tickets to give away to Jelly Roll at the North Dakota State Fair. Now, this concert is Sunday, July 20th. If you want to go to that, and you can use these tickets, and you haven't won anything any time of the day on WDAY Radio in the past month, then you are eligible. Give us a call. I don't know why I do this to myself. Caller 10, 701. Jeez. That's a lot. I know that's a lot.
Be patient calling it.
701-293-9000. Looking for caller 10, you will win yourself a pair of tickets to Jelly Roll at the North Dakota State Fair. The concert is Sunday, July 20th.
In Minot.
And congratulations to Suzette. She won herself a pair of tickets to Jelly Roll at the North Dakota State Fair. We do still have some tickets to give away here on Bonnie and Friends. We've got tickets for Luke Bryan and Sawyer Brown. Keep on listening all week long for an opportunity
and
to
win those. That's this coming week then up in Minot?
Well, Jelly Roll is Sunday the 20th. Yeah. Sawyer Brown is Wednesday, July 23rd. And Luke Bryan is Saturday, July 26th.
Okay, so the fair starts this weekend then?
Yeah, this Friday. Correct. Okay. Yep.
Gotcha.
All right, time now for your three-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Good morning to you, Dino.
And good morning. We've got temperatures out there right now in the 60s across much of the area. Not a lot of rain on radar. In fact, most of us are remaining dry this morning. And we're looking at temperatures today reaching the low 70s. Breezy conditions out of the north, about 15 to 25, and a few scattered showers, especially as we head into the afternoon. Some of those could be strong to severe storms in Lakes Country, generally along and south of an Alex Brainerd line. And then a few isolated showers tonight and into the daytime hours tomorrow, with highs only in the upper 60s tomorrow. So today's... Oh, wait, three-degree guarantee.
Yeah. Hold your horses.
Yesterday, we predicted for you 88. It was 88.
So
That makes the streak four, thanks to Bonnie.
All right. Yay, and so, yay me. You're welcome, yeah. Dean.
I owe you.
So today's high, your three-degree guarantee?
72 for 72. Today's three-degree guarantee.
So all right.
A little cooler than normal, but...
Sticky all day?
Well, a little humid, but it will feel much better today because we're going to have that north wind. Now, again, we'll still see some of that Canadian smoke pour into the area, especially late today into tonight. I think that's when the smoke will get a little bit thicker, but at least it'll feel a little cooler today. It won't feel as humid or as sticky due to the breeze.
Well, the curly-haired girls ain't loving you today there, Dino, nor are the people that don't like the smoke.
Bonnie, there's a whole line of people.
That, it's not just them,
and it's not just them.
It's not just frizzy hair.
Exactly. Your three-degree guarantee today, 72 degrees, brought to you by the Window and Door Store. And while you're maybe out and about tonight, make sure you stop by Tailgaters. Thanks to the Tailgaters two-degree guarantee, Dean/Bonnie was correct yesterday. That means your first domestic pint is just $2 tonight, $4 each after that. And you can enjoy live music on Thursday nights out on the patio. Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
A couple more stories we want to talk about on the medical front. One of them involves vaccines. It was a very extensive vaccine study out of Denmark, and what they found, whether it might be linked to autism and other things, and also COVID cases rising. All that and more right here on Bonnie and Friends straight ahead. 752, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie and a study, Jay Stenman and you. Oftentimes we'll come across, you know, studies, and sometimes if they don't have a large pool of people they're studying, I find them rather insignificant. Sometimes we'll come across stories that's like, 40 people they studied, or 60
or maybe
people.
They studied 2,000 people over a decade, and you're like, well, that's really not that many. You know, I mean, I understand it's better than 40, but at the same time.
2,000 is a pretty good sample. But this was a big one. This is a study that looked into childhood vaccines, because there's some people that claim there's the aluminum in there can cause autism, asthma, and other things. Now, this was done over in Denmark. 1.2 million people were involved in the study, those that got childhood vaccines. And it was published here in the Annals of Internal Medicine, found no link between aluminum and vaccines and an increase of risk of 50 chronic conditions, including autism, autoimmune diseases, and allergies.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because there are individuals that truly believe that different vaccines can cause that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think with anything, the more advanced we get as a, you know, technologically as a society, I think the better we are at testing for certain things and knowing the early signs of stuff. Because a lot of times, I think there was a study a number of years ago, Bonnie, that said that more often than not, boys were diagnosed with like ADD and ADHD and girls normally weren't. And so to get that kind of corrected where you're getting the right diagnosis for young girls, obviously as a father of two daughters, you want to make sure that anything that comes up, you know, they can be identified earlier on in their childhood as opposed to waiting till later and being like, oh, this is the reason why you are the way you are.
It'd be nice once they unlock it and figure out what leads to ADHD, autism, and other disorders. This study, again, looked at 1.2 million people in Denmark born from 1997 through 2018 and followed them all the way up to 2020, records meticulously kept. And like I said...
Would you like someone following you around for 20 years?
Well, they weren't doing it that way.
But, oh, they weren't?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. But so that's interesting there. And also, it's been going on for a while now, but now COVID cases rising in 25 states. This new variant here, it's like razor blades in your throat from what I don't know of anybody who's sick here.
No. That would be less than ideal, to say the least.
It's never fun to be sick. No, it's always the worst when your throat's raw like that, you know.
When you have a sore throat, then you're just, because I mean, I don't know how many times in a day, I'm sure you could probably Google this too. I don't know how many times during the day you swallow, you know, and it's just a natural thing. And if every time you did that, your throat was sore. I mean, it's so miserable. Just
I think
to
we've
try
all
make it
been there with sore throats like that over the years. There's one, and I don't really like tea, but there's a tea that will really help that throat coat. Have you ever had that before? I think it's got like echinacea, and it just kind of it does really help.
I do try and like during the wintertime, I will try and have some tea, especially if I'm just a smidge under the weather. I want to have some tea or something. I want to try and get my voice in a sense ready to go,
really,
especially like when we're doing, you know, game broadcasts and stuff like that. I don't really want to have to try and be dealing with a sore throat or a cough or anything like that. So anything I can do, you know, if it's tea with echinacea or whatever it is, just trying to do something to try and make it a little bit easier to get everything out.
Yeah, lemon ginger tea. I can handle that. Just not a huge tea lover, but good for those of you who do drink a lot of tea because it is so good for you, especially the green tea and the black tea, they say, is good.
Yeah, well, you know. Depends if it's real tea or if it's the Lipton pre-bottled
the sugared stuff. So much.
I'm not sure that's really that great for you.
Oh, shocker. Stamp prices are up.
What?
We'll cover it in Money and Markets coming up next. 7:59, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed higher on Wall Street yesterday to start a new week. Stocks edge higher as investors largely shrugged off the president's latest tariff threats and looked ahead to second quarter earnings results. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 88 points, S&P 500 was up 8, and the NASDAQ rose 54.
President Trump will be in Pittsburgh today to take part in the first Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit. The event at Carnegie Mellon University is billed as a gathering of top leaders in energy and AI alongside the biggest global investors for the purposes of planning how to advance the president's energy agenda. A number of Trump cabinet and government officials are also expected to attend. Pennsylvania's Republican Senator Dave McCormick is hosting the event. They are reportedly expected to announce $70 billion in AI and energy investments for the state.
And it now costs a little bit more to mail a letter using a stamp. Price of a first-class mail forever stamp has jumped from 73 to 78 cents. The price increase is part of the United States Postal Service's 10-year financial stability plan. It also plans to raise prices in January and July, both next year and the year after.
Why don't we just skip and just go all the way to a dollar now? And wait.
Yeah, stop monkeying around.
Yeah. You know what? First class mail, that's my Bonnie's nickname for me.
First class mail? Oh, yeah. You're top dog. You are. I'll give you that. Okay.
8 o'clock. She had to say it out loud and think about it. Like, oh, I see what you did there. You changed mail to mail. Oh, okay.
I got it.
You. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We are WDAY Fargo. 803, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on your forecast.
Yeah, and we've got cloudy skies out there right now. Temperatures in the mid-60s, a north wind blowing between about 10 and 20. We'll see the north winds increase as we head throughout the day, and we'll see our shower chances increase as well as we head into the afternoon with highs in the low 70s, north winds 15 to 25. Some of those storms in Lakes Country, let's say generally along and south of an Alex Brainerd line, could be on the strong to severe side. And then tonight, just a few isolated showers in the area with mid-50s, and for Wednesday, again, a few hit-and-miss showers with highs in the upper 60s. Total rainfall over the next 24 to 36 hours, but boy, it's not going to be a lot. A tenth to maybe a quarter inch. I'm thinking more like a tenth of an inch. And then Thursday, pick day of the week, sunny skies, light winds as high pressure builds in with highs in the mid-70s. And then a chance for showers comes back into the forecast Friday. It looks like Friday afternoon into Friday night with highs in the 70s. And then the weekend looks dry right now with highs between about 80 and 85. So not a bad looking forecast for the upcoming weekend. If you're a fan of the real summer heat, like, you know, 95 to 100 and stuff like that, I do see a possibility of some of that coming back as we head into the third and fourth week of the month. Now, it doesn't look like it lasts long, though. We continually get these Canadian fronts to slip through, which limits our any long stretch of hot air. We'll just get a couple days of it, and then we cool right back down.
You're getting goofy on us, like, yeah. Like 90 wasn't hot enough. Let's make it even hotter.
Some people want 95 to 100.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Included, probably.
Yeah, I you think know, you're delusional.
No? Okay.
I want to go outside and pass out.
Yeah, that sounds fun. This is a good time.
It sounds like a blast,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Super.
You make some skin
cancer. Get skin cancer in one afternoon? I mean, my goodness.
You wonder why I'm crabby. It's not just you. It's the heat.
Yeah. It's not so much the heat as it is the humidity.
Yeah, it's mostly me, though.
Well,
let's be honest.
That's true. Okay.
I mean, come on.
Truth be told.
quit sugarcoating.
He knows how to get on my bad side. A lot. That's hot. When is this stuff coming in?
Oh, that'd be towards the end of the month.
Yeah, that's perfect timing. That's exactly what we need for Vikings training camp.
I'm already sweating thinking about it.
I'm gonna have to see if they'll allow me to bring an umbrella so I don't freaking burn up there because there's no shade. There's absolutely no shade there.
Just have Big Game James. He'll be your water boy, and he'll just spray you down with the
darn
water.
Right, he will.
Are you kidding? He'll have security after him chasing him away. You can't be spraying somebody like that. Get out of here.
Yeah, he knows how to get himself in trouble. That's true too. Great, Dean. I hope the air in my house holds up. It's been fixed. So, and at work too.
I've got to get a new air conditioner too. Mine, it's not keeping up with the humidity.
Laney's fixed ours. There was a couple of issues, so we got it fixed yesterday. But I'm sure within the next couple of years, we need to get a new one too. But yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what happened with ours. It wasn't like it was working, but it wasn't working efficiently.
It wasn't keeping up.
Yeah. Yep. They found a few problems with it. So maybe an inspection. You never know. It might just be as simple as that.
I honestly I think I need a bigger. When I moved in here, you know, 4 years ago, I'm like, man, that's a pretty small unit to cool the whole house down. Mm. So I think I just need a bigger one.
Well, yeah, you guys always want bigger stuff.
Okay.
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 All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Before he gets everybody in trouble here. 8:07, right now your national news from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:11, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Lynx ending their road trip with a 91-78 win over the Sky in Chicago last night, trailing by 2 at the half, outscoring the Sky by 15 in the second half. Nafisa Collier with 29 points, Courtney Williams with 18, and Kayla McBride with 17. In the victory, Lynx improved to 4-0, coming off a loss this season, and are now 19-4 on the year. The Lynx return to the Target Center to begin a 5-game homestand that starts Wednesday afternoon when they take on the Phoenix Mercury. Minnesota Timberwolves continue summer league play this afternoon in Vegas against the Detroit Pistons, tip-off at 3:30. Game coverage available nationally on NBA TV. The MLB's Home Run Derby saw Byron Buxton be the first Twin in 8 years since Miguel Sano participated back in 2017 to be in the Derby. He would hit 20 home runs in the first round, move on to the semifinals, but ultimately be ousted by the 2-seed and Junior Caminero of Tampa Bay, who would eventually fall to Seattle's Cal Raleigh 18-15 in the championship round. Raleigh becoming the first catcher to win the Home Run Derby and the second Mariner, joining Ken Griffey Jr., who did so 3 times from 1994 to 1999. Additionally, Raleigh had his father pitching to him and his younger 15-year-old brother catching during the Derby. MLB's All-Star Game will take place tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox at Truist Park in Atlanta. Byron Buxton and Joe Ryan are the representatives for the Twins. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, after an off day last night, will begin a four-game set against the Kansas City Monarchs this evening at Newman Outdoor Field. It's a doubleheader. Game one at 6, game two set for an 8:30 first pitch. There are 2 7-inning matchups with the Redhawks entering. A possibility to break 500 tonight. They're 29-31. The Monarchs sit at 37-21. In rounding out sports here this hour, tonight you have the 49th annual Lions All-Star Basketball Games wrapping up the doubleheader as they were in Legacy last night, and now tonight they'll be at Fargo South. Jason and I will be on the full play-by-play call for both matchups, beginning with the Class 2A Girls All-Stars against the A and B All-Stars at 6 p.m., then the boys' game to follow 20 minutes later. That'll be full coverage on WDAY Radio with the AB girls winning last night and the AA boys winning, both of which looking for sweeps with the respective other teams trying to create splits in the final hoorah before they branch off to their future endeavors.
Hoorah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Hoorah.
That's a Marine thing.
I know. It's still a good word.
I'm just saying.
So? Mm-hmm.
Just pointing it out.
You can still have enjoyment with it.
Mm-hmm. It's
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You being a buzzkill over there?
Pretty much.
Mr. Scrooge.
I try to.
Just because we're halfway to Christmas doesn't mean you got to be a Scrooge.
Be nice. He's going to come to a life tonight on the All-Star game, and it's going to be payback time for
you. Well, it's only if he has a three-hour nap beforehand.
And he won't talk to you unless you have your headset on. I learned that when we were on location.
He's always got his headset on. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he yelled at
me. I'm a professional, Bonnie.
The first time we were on location, we're in a commercial break, and I'm trying to talk to him. He's like, put your headset on, or I'm not
hear.
Talking to you. I'm
I
like,
couldn't hear.
Okay.
Welcome to the life of dealing with a diva.
He is
trying,
a diva.
Trying to hear the things going on in the studio to make sure we come back at the right time, and she's taking her headset off. I'm going,
we had 3 minutes.
That's how you sound like usually when I turn your volume down.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
He just wanted to boss me around, basically.
Oh, no.
He
knew a little bit more about the equipment you were using, so he was really, really trying to push his luck and go, you know what I know.
I'm the boss of you right now. Okay.
I'm way more educated than you.
It just floors me, the people that try to sneak stuff through airport security, like illegal
stuff. Oh, what kind of an animal was it this time?
Not an animal. We went on a roll where it was
pants
multiple.
We had quite a few animals for about a three-month stretch.
Yeah. No, this one's massive amounts of drugs. Like, I've heard people, like, with, you know, weed or something, a small amount, and they try to sneak through as they're going to Mexico. But this guy arrested, Atlanta police arrested him. He was trying to travel out of Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport with nearly $300 million in drugs, most of it hashish.
Hashish?
THC wax, marijuana, and I don't even know what pasty marijuana is. Never heard that one before, but a bunch of, THC, marijuana, and hashish. Almost $2.7 million, so close to $3 million. Like, what makes you think you're going to get this through airport security and not get busted?
Well, you know, we don't really check for drugs, so yeah, it's probably pretty easy.
Okay, like you scan your bag. You
don't they have dogs at about every airport?
Yeah.
Probably not. No one's going to notice. No one's going to know. They're not going to know.
I'm not encouraging anything, but if you have, you know, like a pack of cigarettes versus probably a couple dozen duffel bags, which one are you more likely to not get caught with, right?
I'm going to be worried about violating the 3 ounce liquid thing when I pack for my trip, let alone packing $3 million in weed.
To this point, I still get yelled at for having like a half drink water bottle in my backpack
or
from 3 days
like
prior.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to sneak this on for? Are you trying to take money from? And I'm like, it's a water bottle from Walmart.
Did you ever tell them to calm down? See how that would work?
No, slightly detained.
You don't tell anybody to calm down, especially a woman. That's a different story.
We went through this yesterday.
Yeah, that wouldn't work well in your favor.
My mother taught me not to tell anybody to calm down.
So James, how badly do you want to find that significant other?
Oh, goodness. What did you find?
Romeo.
I'll be totally honest with you. If it happens and she's, you know, I'm all in for it. But
be picky.
What are you trying to get me wrapped up in?
So this is a story that I at least saw this morning. I see a post on it from yesterday. I think it was back in 2018, though.
Oh, boy.
In Arizona, Jacqueline Aides was arrested after sending multiple...
Arrested? Why, why do we start out with that?
Multiple, yeah, that's a good catch
multiple
right there.
Text messages to a man she only dated. Can you guys guess how many text messages she sent?
Multiple?
800.
Yeah. No. I've heard of a couple of them where it's like 25,000 or something.
James was closer. She supposedly sent 159,000 text messages to a man she only dated. That's equivalent to about 530 messages a day.
I bet you Verizon was regretting giving her unlimited messaging.
I bet you they wish they were getting a buck
that's
of sex
when you
from her.
Run the other way, Jimmy.
Golly, when I was in like middle school, got my first flip phone, and it was like whatever 10 or 15 cents a text. Imagine that bill.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The obsession escalated to disturbing threats like, quote, yeah, "I'll make sushi with your kidneys," end quote.
Oh, ow.
In 2018, she was caught on camera bathing in the man's house while he was abroad. He also showed up at his job. She also showed up at his job saying she was his wife. She showed signs of mental disorder and spoke of a, quote, "love story," end quote, linked to the theory of relativity. She was charged with harassment and trespassing.
This is the weird stuff. Have you ever watched Worst Roommate Ever on Netflix? Like, yeah, stuff like that. There's wackadoodle people out there.
I mean,
I'd stay ringless if that was my option.
Yeah.
Well, and I need to do the math too.
I thought you had like some new app or something you were going to try and get me signed up for.
530 text messages a day. That's just a shade over 22 text messages an hour. So we're talking a text message, almost every 3 minutes.
Was she?
A little bit, yeah.
Yikes.
Either that or she wasn't finished in full sentences. She was typing out a sentence and sending every word individually. I don't know. I mean,
that's some wild
dedication. I don't know that I've sent 159,000 text messages in my life. You know, even if you include like Facebook Messenger and Instagram and things like that. I don't know.
I bet you have, but it's taken you... what, 30 years since, you know, all that stuff's kind of become a thing, right? If you include email and everything.
Email, you include email, that'll boost the number, obviously.
I've probably
most
done
people.
A lot.
But yeah, I mean, could you imagine being that obsessed with
you're kind
with
of a junkie for sending messages. Yeah. You know?
Well, I'd rather send messages than talk on the phone. John wants me to call him later today. I'm like, I don't like to talk on the phone.
Just send
you,
me a text message.
People like Bonnie. Oh, that drives me nuts.
I hate talking on the phone.
Are you kidding?
You know what? Because that's supposed to be like a millennial thing.
45-second phone call saves 3 days of texting.
No.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Nah. I would rather text. I don't want to talk to anybody.
I'm the same.
I don't either, but still, you can get it done. It over with in 60 seconds.
All I know is it's usually an emergency when you call me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what now?
Yeah, and you know what it does? It saves us texting for the rest of the day.
You could have texted one message and been like, we don't have to show up at XYZ at this time. Okay, cool, thanks.
No, when it's something like that, I just let you show up early.
I hate talking on the phone. Like,
I'm not a huge fan of it, but my goodness, can you just save me a week's worth of text?
It's not that
hard. Let's just talk for a minute.
How about the other person learn how to properly text, and it shouldn't take that long?
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't take that many messages.
That's the issue.
Sup?
It's a two-way thing, right? So,
KK, it's easy, man.
WID.
You would be shocked as to the lack of competence of sorts. That's probably a good way to put it.
Not that hard.
Yeah, it's not until it is.
Some people just don't want to learn. Like, I know people that are like
stubborn.
You know, Jace's age, and they
I thought you were just
going to
put
learn.
It Jace and say like Jace just in general.
No.
I like to learn new things. I especially love new technology, and that's why there are certain people like my folks. You know, they're in their 70s, and it's pretty comical when you look between my mom and dad. How dad knows how to do all this stuff on the phone, and he's just the one that has to sit there and show my mom how to do X. I don't know what I did, Ron. Ron, I don't know what I did. The message was here, now it's not there. And then
sounds
he'll go.
Sounds like my husband. He lost his doorbell, and I refuse to put it back on his phone because his phone's diseased, just like everybody else. And I don't touch anybody's phone but my own.
Just send him the link to it in the Google's Play Store.
Carly did it for him. I'm like, I ain't touching his phone. You know what? And if he's too dumb not to be able to figure that out, then he doesn't need to have it on his phone. I'm
just
sorry.
Throw him under the bus, Bonnie.
His brother and sister-in-law are the same way. They call their daughter to do everything. It's like, take the time. It's not that hard to figure it out. Why
there
do you
was,
want people to do
there
everything
There was a time when
you?
My mom finally got her very own cell phone instead of sharing one with dad. Because they were able to buy one, get another one for free, like a lower model or whatever, and dad was upgrading his phone. There was a time period all of a sudden I would get like email messages from mom via text message, and I'm like, or a text message through email. And I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I just, when I click, when I start typing your name pops up. So I just click on it and it's, it sends it. So she, it, oh. it wasn't, she wasn't picking the email address. Yeah, she was picking the text number, or she was trying to send a text and she would click, accidentally click my email address. And so I get an email with a text message and I'm like, then I would text her back, Mom, you texted me an email, or, you know, via email again. I did? I don't even know how I did that. Well, you clicked on my name and you didn't click the phone number. You clicked the email, Mom.
Yeah. I had to walk through a couple of older people back in the day about how to text and how to attach pictures, like walk them through. And one of my friends, he's passed on now. He just thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh,
to learn. It's like, yeah, it's just that easy. You know, here's their number. Here's the text. Here's the attach. And it's like, well, that's easy. It's like, but learn how to do it yourself. I hate when people rely on you to do everything. And then I've encountered a lot of people over the years. It's just like, I will help you.
Yeah.
And I'll help you again. And maybe a third time. But if you are just not willing to learn this skill, then find somebody else.
Exactly.
I'm busy. I am so over you.
Yeah. My oldest, she continually has problems. She's trying to set up an app and she needs this account put in it. And she can't get it to work. So it always says it doesn't work. And I'm just like, well, I haven't actually tried installing it for you on your phone, so I don't know really what you're talking about. But normally there is a operator error that's included in there somewhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So like I said, I will help, and I'll help them a couple different times. But if they have no inclination to actually figure it out and learn to help themselves, it's like, no, I'm not going to do your work for you all the time.
Well, my biggest problem is that I feel that if I know how to do something, then everybody should, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
You're a dum-dum is what you're saying?
And I've always figured that, going back to my days, I lived in Tucson with some roommates, and they were just like, oh, I always felt you kind of thought I wasn't really that bright. And it's just like, no, I assume if I know something, everybody knows it, because I am not on the cutting edge of anything.
8:25 Flatland Music Flashback. We do that each and every morning right around 6:56 here on Bonnie and Friends. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Tomorrow morning, we will be showcasing the Beach Boys.
There you go.
Herman's Hermits.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Cassidy. Ron,
oh,
Ron,
really?
Ron. And Harry Chapin. All that and more coming up tomorrow morning. Flatland Music Flashback. Right around 6:56. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly. Bonnie and Friends wrapping up. Coffee Club ramping up. They've joined us in studio now. Good morning, Janae and Ronnie.
Good morning.
You going to talk over there? Or are you just doing aerobics?
I guess he's doing chair aerobics.
Yes, yes.
He's just like, physical, you can't see that on the radio, Ronnie.
Physical activity. You got to get
it. You look like Olivia Newton-John there for a moment.
Let's get physical.
There you go. What are you guys doing on the Tuesday edition of the Coffee
Club? This morning, we're going to be visiting with Marcus James Henderson from the Marshall Tucker Band.
Okay.
We'll have him on with us. Also Tuesday, Nonprofit Day of the Week. Thank you to Luther Family Ford. Sally with the Red River Zoo is going to be on with us. We haven't had her on for a while.
Yeah, she's fun.
She is a blast. She's so adorable.
She is.
She does a good job over there, too. Yep.
Carly's already been talking about taking Zara to the zoo, so we'll be over there, I'm sure, coming up pretty quick here.
Yeah, they do a good job over there.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I was reading Marcus's bio. What a career. Mm. I mean, just unbelievable.
Love Marshall Tucker Band. Looking forward to that interview.
Yeah, with BTO and Jefferson Starship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and Friends, we will be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a great day. Stay tuned. Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie. That's going to be coming up shortly.